Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once per 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
That's the right order. Let's see who got it right. And it's the fastest time. Ted Patchell. Patchell, congratulations. We have five people from New Jersey in the fastest finger, and you're one of them from Somerdale, New Jersey. What do you do?
Computer catalog salesperson. I take orders over the phone.
What did you do last night, Ted?
Actually, I stayed in and watched ABC.
All right. Your partner, Thomas, is up there. Hi, Tom. How you doing?
Hi, Regis.
Nice to see you. What would you do if you won the $1 million?
Pay off all the bills and splurge and go get a dozen pairs of shoes at once.
All right, fine. All right, good.
That John is the greatest guy in the world. We gotta have him and his wife over for drinks sometime.
I don't think he's married, Homer.
Oh, a swinging bachelor, eh? Well, there's lots of foxy ladies out there.
Homer, didn't John seem a little festive to you?
Couldn't agree more. Happy as a clam.
He prefers the company of men.
Who doesn't?
Homer, listen carefully. John is a hoe? Mo?
Right.
Sexual!
Boy, am I in love. I think about my life in place. Yeah. Everybody's got a laugh in place. A laugh in place to go home.
Yeah, that was just
possible.
The following takes place between 3 p.m. and 7 p.m.
The Don and Mike Show.
There. Brother, what can I do to help you?
Huh? Yeah, right. I'm pouring your wine.
Wait a minute.
Hello.
I caught it in the...
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
You winked and gave me...
I'm on my second beer.
Stop it now.
Welcome to the best of Don and Mike, Bo Dam, as we call it around here. I'm your host, Legendary Joe Orringer, with you on this fine, fine Wednesday afternoon, day after 4th of July. I hope everybody had a good holiday. I certainly did. But I'm here, I'm safe, and I did not burn my fingers. I lit fuse and get away, just like the label on the fireworks say. Now, I'm glad you're with me today. Don and Mike returning. Tuesday the 11th, I had to get that right, next week. So we've got best of for you for the rest of the week. And today is a great day for best of. A lot of people going right into getting right into this and going right into this segment. A lot of people call me on the phones. They want Don to talk about his old radio days. Well, this is an entire segment. It's Don talking about Steve Dahl, Landecker, and Chicago memories on the best of Don and Mike on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Yeah, I'd like to suggest what you could tip your mail carriers with.
Well, I'm already covered on that. You might want to talk to Mike, who does not tip his mailman.
I may have. I don't remember.
He forgot.
Well, I was thinking maybe an Asian energy drink and also some gummy bears for Robert the mailman.
That's a little cheap joke, but I'd like to give my mail carrier some lightning bolt.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
So would I.
Hello.
I bet you would.
Buzz. Buzz. And what did you say? What was the old one?
The previous mail carrier was, I said, a Nubian woman.
A Nubian.
A lovely Nubian woman.
Nubian woman.
Yes. What is that?
African American.
No, no.
It couldn't be more modern. African American.
Is that the new? If I thought that was politically incorrect.
I think it is, Buzz.
Is it? No, I thought it, I believe I thought it was a compliment.
Well,
I honestly
we'll have
did.
To find out.
This Sam Anubian.
Yeah.
Hey, go ask Colette if she's pissed at that.
I'll call her.
I mean, if, you know, we'd like to be accurate. If it was a simple oversight.
I see it. Women referred to as Nubian beauties, so I took that to be a good thing.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, good. Thanks, Tip, for taking my call. Hey,
That is the first way to get hung up on this show. Thanks for taking my call. Please, don't waste our time with that. Of course, thanks for taking the call. That's why we're here, ass.
Yes, we take your calls.
What
now
we do.
Colette Harris holding for Don Geronimo.
Let's go to the front desk, and here's the lovely Colette Harris.
Hi.
Hi, Colette.
Colette, we have a politically correct question for you.
Go ahead there, Buzz.
If I said you were a Nubian beauty, would you take that as a compliment? Coming from me, a white guy?
Yes.
So when he said that earlier when he was talking about his mail carrier, that would not be offensive?
No.
Okay.
Ah, all right. Thank you.
As long as you're on the line, may I ask you a question of a personal nature?
Yes.
Colette, you've worked here for many years. You're a good lady, a good friend.
Thank you.
Good times.
She's wonderful.
Director of First Impressions.
She is. Okay. Here's the thing. Baby, I know you got it, and you know you got it. Of course, I'm talking about the button that lets everybody into the radio station. Why must I continue, at least during office hours, to carry this stupid swipe card in my pocket? And you know what, Colette? I know that you want to let me in because I see you involuntarily
reach.
With your right hand reach.
She does, and then she checks herself.
To push the button that everybody is supposed to think is no longer there.
Right.
Can we please, can you and I get past that?
Yes.
Thank you, baby.
You're welcome.
Okay, goodbye. Thank you, Nubian princess.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Colette.
Wonderful Colette.
She seemed to have fun with that.
Well, now that's yours. Now you own it, because nobody else can ask for it now.
Right.
You're not going to have to whip out the old card.
I can't tell you what a waste it is every day to come in, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's one thing after Colette's gone, when I guess you really do have to use this stupid swipe card to get through the...
You do.
The security.
The elaborate security system.
But I know I go out there to take a leak, and I come back, and it's like I go into my pocket, and I see her with her hand, like she wants to...
Yeah.
Press the button and she's forbidden. And maybe it's because of the eye on the spy cameras, but I think that, you know, just let us in.
A lot, 2 weeks ago, she buzzed me in. I just like old times.
Because she forgot?
Yeah, and I said.
Just a reflex action.
I said, Colette, you told me you don't have that button anymore. And she said, oh, I don't.
And incidentally, speaking of the front desk, you know, Andrew, my close friend Andrew, substitutes for Colette when she goes out to lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a wonderful, wonderful conversation today when I came in and I said, hey, Andrew, what's happening? And his response was, answering phones. I said, I didn't know that. I just wanted
Shut
to
up.
Thank him for passing that along. Then he looked at me as I was walking down the hallway and he said, nice motorcycle. Ever taken off any sweet chumps?
Hello. Talking Mike show. Hello.
Hello. This is a Nubian King calling for a compliment about the queen.
Yes, bad cell phone.
Nubian King calling for a Nubian queen?
He wants to comment on it.
Oh, yes. Go ahead, please.
Okay. Well, listen, being an African-American male, whatever I do refer to a black woman who I'm trying to court as a Nubian queen.
Yes.
Our heart does skip a beat.
Okay, so it's a butt.
Thank
and
you.
The key word's there, who I'm trying to court.
Yes, all right.
Yeah, well, you aced it.
And let me just say that, of course, it's great to have El DeBarge on the show.
El DeBarge, that's going back a long...
Who's Johnny?
That's right.
Who's Johnny?
Who's Johnny?
Oh, my God. The rhythm of the night.
Buzz loves to court, and in his day, he was quite a gentleman caller.
Yes, he was, and he was the court jester.
That's true.
Hello, my Nubian princess. How are you?
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hi, I've been on a fishing trip for the last 3 months, and I was wondering if Mike O'Mara is still married.
That's funny. That's really, really funny, sir. I really appreciate that.
Hello there, Donna Mike Show.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Oh, baby. Now, now I believe we do have a real another Nubian queen on the phone.
Are you a Nubian queen?
It is a Nubian queen. Yes.
Well, now, Buzz, that you've introduced this to the show, we can embrace it.
Well, please do. I think it's a compliment if you use it wisely.
From Merriam-Webster Dictionary.
Hold on. Honey, hold on a second. You know, Rob loves black people. He would like to say something. Yes, Rob?
The primary definition is a native or inhabitant of Nubia, a member of one of the group of dark-skinned peoples that formed a powerful empire between Egypt and Ethiopia from the 6th to the 14th centuries, or any of several languages spoken in Central and Northern Sudan.
That would be me.
Shut up, Rob.
There you go.
Shut up. I want to know why Rob... I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, ma'am.
Go ahead. I wanted to know why Rob sold out Carlette, telling about her using a button.
Nubian... Prince would be a fellow, NQ, Nubian queen. And no, it wasn't
so you
Rob.
You could say Nubian princess.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. It wasn't Rob that it was me. It was Don. And I didn't sell her out.
You told about her using the button to let him in?
No, Rob did. Rob said that.
Why does the white man always have to tell on the black people?
Yeah.
Mom, what's up with that?
And of course, it's Rob. Any opportunity.
Any chance to talk about Colette's buttons.
The white man doesn't always tell.
I love him.
Shut up, Buzz.
You are sexed up, Buzz.
You really are.
I'm sexed up from Buzz.
Oh, wow. There we go.
Of course you're sexed up from Buzz.
Lovelier.
Well, thank you, people. I've enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Thank you, people.
Thank you.
Meanwhile, Don and Mike show.
No problem. Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hi there.
Hey, I want to thank you guys because a couple of years ago when I started listening to you, I had never thought about tipping my mailman or the garbage man, but lo and behold, once I tipped the mailman, my monthly men's periodical kept showing up regularly. And still within the plastic wrapper.
That would be Playboy, of course.
Right.
Plastic,
right. Yeah. See, there, you're right. I mean, you forget all the stuff that your mailman can or cannot do for you. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike. Hey,
yes.
It's Hank from New Orleans. I just found your show on a webcast, and I got to say, it's great to hear you. I haven't heard you since 2002.
Right.
I had a really weird story to tell you about this Mardi Gras. You'll never guess who was down here.
Wait, hold on, you're doing a can. Can you get to 10? I already know what you're doing.
No, it was John Reckers Landecker.
Oh, really?
Yeah, YDNA.
What did you say after John Records Landecker?
Do you remember that crap song he came out of, YDNA? It was an O.J. parody song?
I remember. Oh,
that's right. You played it on the show.
Oh, okay. I know what he's talking about. Right. John Landecker is, he was an idol of mine when I was a kid, and I was lucky enough to work with him in Chicago at WLS. Yeah. And he
How
was
did you identify him, sir? Nice. How did you know it was John Landecker?
We were talking in a bar downtown, and he mentioned he worked at WLS. I was like, do you know Don Geronimo? He's like, yeah, I've worked with him a long time. My source. I'm like, are you John Reckers Landecker? He's like, yeah. YDNA? He's like, yeah. And I just walked out of the bar.
Did you remember to tip him?
The bartender, yeah.
Oh, he wasn't the bartender?
Nice one, guys. I love you to death. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Less caffeine.
The big easy.
I would imagine that guy probably, doesn't he able to...
He has one of those voices, doesn't he?
Landecker? Here's what I don't buy about that. I don't think John Landecker would be... I don't doubt he would be in New Orleans, mm-hmm. but I don't think he would be sitting at a bar saying, hi, I'm John Landecker from WLS.
I work at WLS.
But, maybe it was...
How long was the last time you had a conversation with him?
Since Frida died.
Okay.
So maybe it was...
he was just out there going... Yeah, I remember.
Maybe it was the hurricane talking.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I think that John Landecker is one of the people that got blown out in Chicago when they switched that station to Jack FM.
I worked at WLS and worked with Don. And what do you do?
yeah, freshen that up for me.
There we go.
This is John Reckers Landecker. Anybody that's a fan of radio, I mean, when I was a kid, I used to drive around and listen to this guy at night.
Records is my middle name.
Yeah, the John Landecker Records truly is my middle name. I mean,
that's what I used to say.
And then when I got to my dream station, WLS, that's where that guy Steve Dahl had turned everybody against me.
You want some beads?
By the time I got there, I've told you this before, but I don't care. Like, Mike, see, I'm not offended. If somebody was to say, yesterday you got offended because they said you said that thing about your daughter, I'm going to tell the story again about Steve Dahl. I don't give a rat's ass if anybody says I've told this story before. So go, you know, before I do, why don't you tell us that story again about your daughters?
What are you referring to?
The one yesterday's show.
Yeah. What is Steve Dahl? I'm not sure I'm making the connection.
I've told the story many times about how Steve Dahl played my air check on WLS before I got to work there.
Right.
And I was just saying.
And a good story bears repeating, so you should tell again the story of when you went down to breakfast and spoke with your daughter.
Well, it's the Napoleon Dynamite where I would say, especially like if we're in public, I will say to my daughter, like if they're within earshot of somebody who's a stranger, I will say, "What are you doing today?" And Catherine will say to me inevitably, "Whatever I want, God." And it's always because it works best if people don't know and they just think that the kid is being rude to me. I love that.
You can tell.
Well, hey, what did you think of that? Mike just told it again.
I know it was better the fourth time.
Thank
I liked
you.
It. I think if he tells it a great. Never mind.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, dog.
A no win.
What did you call, wow. You call her dog?
Dog, like, you know, like Rambi would.
D-A-W-G.
Oh, I was thinking D-O-G. Sure.
No. No, oh my God, this hasn't gotten to that point. My God, we wouldn't be hurling those barbs. Absolutely, absolutely not.
Dog.
Dog.
Dog and butterfly.
Yeah. That was...
Dog and butterfly.
Yuck.
Oh, so anyway, let me tell you, it had been my dream in radio to work at the station WLS Music Radio. And I finally got hired, and the program director, John Guerin, at the time had a bunch of disc jockeys like Larry Lujack, right. And John Landecker, right. Guys that were legends in radio, and then this guy, Steve Dahl, that did a talk show in the afternoon. And he, morale sucked or whatever, so he said, "I want everyone to know that you're not doing a good job, and I've hired a guy, and I want you to listen to the tape, and listen to what this guy does, and this is what we should be doing on the station." So yeah. Like, he plays my tape as a way of introducing me to the staff before I get there.
Essentially not to hate you.
Yeah, and meanwhile, the next day, Steve Dahl, this disc jockey, gets the tape and plays it on his show and says, "Guerin had a meeting yesterday and played the tape. Listen to this guy. This guy sucks." And it was me doing the whole, you know, "Hey, Kiss FM, how are you? Good morning, good afternoon, how are you, buddy? It's all on," you know, it was all that DJ.
And he played it.
He played it and just ripped me an a-hole like I had never been ripped in my life. So, this was before I even got to Chicago.
Ouch.
Now nobody there has bothered to tell me that Steve Dahl has already done this.
Yee.
So, I get on the air and I'm nervous as hell, and it's my first night ever.
And you've always wanted to work at this radio station.
On WLS.
Always.
And I get on, and it's like 7 o'clock, and goddamn, the station goes to like the 40 states at night.
That's
and
true.
It's like, it's my dream job, and I crack the mic, and I give out the request line, and, you know, you didn't take live calls. You recorded calls
right.
during the songs. So first thing, I go right to the phone. I sit the record. They go, "WLS." They go, "You suck! Go back to Kiss FM! You suck!" And I'm like, I didn't talk about radio on the air like we do now.
Right.
This blew my mind. I'm thinking, what is this? So I go to the next call. Music Radio WLS. "Is this Don?" "Yeah." "You stink. You're an awful disc jockey. God, you suck. You puke. Your jokes aren't funny."
And of course, these were all the calls that came at the beginning.
Right.
Because they were waiting for you to start.
Well, now, I'm sitting there recording these calls during, like, my first or second record. And they, who did I piss off already? Right? So I call up the program director, and, like, during a record, I say, "Listen, I don't know what is going on." And he says, "Oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you that Dahl did a bit a couple of weeks ago where he played your air check on the air, and I guess he's been playing it pretty much every day."
Oh wow. God. Oh, my God.
You know, maybe that's a little insight for any of you people. I know people love saying...
Did you ever talk to Steve about doing that?
People love saying to me, "You can dish it out, but you can't take it." Well, you don't know what I went through. When I worked at this station... You have no freaking idea what I went through.
All kinds
because
of
you had the disc jockeys on the AM station.
Right.
The great, my heroes, guys like Fred Winston, John Landecker, who just, about John Landecker, what an amazing disc jockey, what an influence on my life, and what a guy who I hold in such high esteem as being a radio broadcaster and just a DJ. I mean, the guy's friggin' great. What I love about it is that, he was one of the guys at WLS. He's my biggest hero there. He never treated me like a dick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was always nice. And even, I've told this one before, he was working at, Go 106? Remember that, Buzz?
No, I don't.
106, whatever the Go 105.9, whatever the...
I don't remember a Go radio station.
It was, Jesus, it was in Chicago.
Right.
And he had gotten fired from WLS and hired to do the morning show. And I thought, oh, God, now I'm going to be on against John Landecker.
Uh-huh.
Except they read in the paper that they were doing more music, less talk. So one morning, picking up the request lines again during the record... At the morning show at B96 in Chicago, B96, he goes, hey, Don, pick up the phone. I pick it up. It's John Landecker. He's working the same shift as I'm working
right.
mornings.
Right.
He said, I want to let you know that was a great bit you just did. I said, well, how do you know? He said, I'm listening to your show.
While doing his class act.
While doing his show.
Right. Yeah, that is his class act.
The guy was just a hero of mine and a really good guy in the radio business.
That's great. That is nice to hear.
So, yeah, this guy, Steve Dahl, though. I mean, talk about... I think I said on the day that I came back after everything with Frieda that's where I got the idea to put Frieda on the air. When I heard this guy's show and this guy had his wife on the air, I thought it was the best way I'd ever heard to get an audience to relate to you. But Jesus Christ,
he could be the worst, couldn't he?
And he loved the fact that my name was Mike Source. You know, he loved that. He loved that. He would love talking to me, you know, because part of the deal was I was doing like nights, and he did the afternoon show. And he did the afternoon. It was an AM and an FM, and at night it would be both.
Right.
So he would do afternoons on the FM, and then when it was time for the nighttime show, I would come on. And he would know that I would be coming on, and at 7 o'clock on WLS AM, I would be on the air. Meanwhile, while I'm on the air doing my stuff, he's got it turned on, and the whole time that I'm doing the show, he's like making fun of it.
And he had great ratings, so they let him do that.
Yeah, you
know. Yeah. That's funny.
He got to do whatever he wanted.
Didn't he have like a refrigerator that he kept locked or something like that?
Yes, with the chocolate Yoo-Hoo or something like that. Refrigerator.
He was a big
man.
He was one of the big man club. Yeah.
And Mike, he should have been an inspiration to you. He did have a couch installed in the studio, and he would do the show laying down.
Attaboy.
It was Canfield's Diet Chocolate Soda. That's what he drank. He remembered it once.
Wow. Canfield's Diet Chocolate Soda.
That was it.
He was a man who liked the horizontal.
And this woman, talk about just being a ball buster. If you think I have never been on the receiving end, oh my God. This is 1981, 82. Frieda and I have been married less than a year. I uprooted us from Los Angeles, where we both had jobs, and we were both making great money, to Chicago, where only I had a job, and I was making half the money, all because I wanted to work at this radio station,
right.
And things were not working out for us. And we went through a period where she moved back with her mom. It was like 4 months where we were separated.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody told Dahl about this, and all he does is said, hey, turn on the radio. And it was like, hey, Don Geronimo, how's your wife? I understand your wife left you. Everybody would leave you. You suck. I mean, it was...
Like just naked. Wow.
It was brutal. And one day I got pissed, and I went to the station, and WLS studios were with engineers. So the disc jockey's on one side behind the glass, and I would have to enter through the engineer side.
Right.
So I would just walk in, and he's on the air, and he would see me. And he'd go, hey, there he is. There's Mike Source. You know, which would just piss me off. And he said, how's that marriage? Too bad your wife left you. And I mean, do it right to my face.
Jesus. On the air live.
Right to my face.
Wow. Man, oh man. Thank goodness that kind of radio cruelty came to an end.
Right. That is.
Right, no problem.
That is pressure on the fire.
Yeah.
Pressure on the fire.
Yeah, true. Wow.
And that's
who was the guy that locked you in the airlock?
Oh, it's Larry Lujan.
He was another guy that abused you.
Super jock.
You don't come in until you call me super jock. That's how he talks.
Yes. Okay. So anyway, John Landecker made
it. Well, I mean, you speak to Dahl now, right? I mean, we see him and stuff, but he's still like a creepy little guy.
Yeah. You know, here's the thing. I think the guy's a radio innovator. I've not heard his show in, 15 or 20 years, but I hear it's the same. When we saw him in Los Angeles, I was out there with Mike and all you guys. He came around the corner and, like, just, did the low-key...
how you doing, shake hands, and then, yeah, that's kind of it.
He was gone.
That's kind of it.
He's a creep.
A very talented creep. Look, I didn't work with the guy, and I'm sure he's an innovator and all that, but man, all I know is that when we were doing that show, and you didn't see this part, that he just like... We had a radio row. We're in these cubicles, and he'd just peer out from behind this partition with a little smirk on his face. It was very, very disconcerting.
And like a not quite so handsome Roger Ebert.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good comparison.
Exactly.
I used to listen to it.
He had the Hawaiian shirt, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, that's like his trademark.
Used every inch of it.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, no, he'd tell you he's a big fat load.
Oh, really?
I think he would.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Probably.
Well, thank goodness he drank the diet chocolate soda.
Canfield.
Hello.
Bottom Light Show. Hello.
Hey, Don.
What?
I'm sure Steve didn't make it any easier for you, but you can remember what it was like back then in the early 80s, the political climate of Chicago. I mean, you're blaming a lot of these hostilities on his introduction, but I'll tell you what, the city itself back then was not a friendly place to be.
Come on, I was you're talking about I'm just a disc jockey coming to work at the top 40 station.
What was Chicago like? I mean, what was the problem?
I didn't think there was a problem.
Nor did I.
Oh, no. Mayor Daley in control, the political machine, yeah. No.
What does that have to do with
well,
DJs?
It had always been that way, and I believe it still is to some degree.
And Don stepped into that control machine, and he was resistant.
Oh, no. No, we weren't part of the political machine.
It's just stupid. We're talking about disc jockeys.
Playing records.
We're talking about DJs.
Well, there was the old Daily and then the Sun, right?
Yes.
Right.
Well, the Sun was there in the 80s, right?
Right. Eventually, yeah.
It wasn't the old guy. The old guy was long since gone,
don't forget Harold Washington.
Right.
He's the mayor, Harold Washington.
He began a State of the Union, a State of the City address one year by saying, "The State of the City is real good."
We couldn't do it back then, but the tape was really something like, "Hello there, Chicago. The State of the City am good." And we'd play it 8,000 times, but never reference why it was funny.
And my only memory of Chicago is that one delightful weekend we spent there. When we went to Wrigley Field.
Man,
it's a great town.
Toilet art. Gary Rosnick.
Gary Rosnick with the Instamatic camera taking the picture.
Okay.
That was one of the best boys' weekends out that I've ever spent with anybody.
We all went to Chicago to go to a Cubs game and stay at a nice hotel.
No radio, anything, no agenda. Wow. Just going out to Chicago to have a good time.
And beyond the guy, Gary Rosnick, the sales guy that went with us, besides the fact that he pulled out his stuff at a game. Yeah, his bag of tricks and took a picture. We told that.
Yeah.
Took the picture with the girl's camera who wanted to take pictures. Have we ever mentioned about the pink eye?
No, I don't think so.
He, at one point...
Somehow wanted to demonstrate something. We got on the subject.
He was very...
It's a very homoerotic weekend.
Well, he was. Course. Here's the thing. We had been at a party or something, and he said... I know what it was. Speaking of Nubian queens, Gary Rosnick, who was like the whitest of white guys.
Right.
Mike and I and Gary and Frank, we were at this party, and all of a sudden, Gary Rosnick, this white guy, gets just swallowed in a group of beautiful black women.
Right.
Wow. And he just says, "I'm going to Navy Pier, wherever that is."
Yeah. Yeah.
All of these chicks, he was going to buy them all drinks.
And he vanished.
So... He arrived back at the hotel room like at 3 or 4 in the morning, and we were all still up and drunk and whatever we're doing, playing cards, whatever. And he comes in, and the discussion came up with something like, "What are you doing?" My God, what did they do to you? And he felt the need to pull down his pants.
And when he did, there's a lot of pink.
He didn't.
And I don't mean that in the worst possible way.
Didn't show us the front. He right. Bent over his, and said, I believe the comment was something like, "No, listen, you don't understand. Look at it."
Something about what he'd eaten.
And
he said he was in a little pain. Well, then, he wanted to show us.
All I know is that.
Makes you wonder about bleach.
Here's a nice picture. Here's a nice mental picture. Mike and I are each sitting on the edge of the twin beds in the room, and
there may have been chicken nuggets.
No, there was room
with
service
chicken fingers.
There were room service trays on wheels in front of us
back during our health kick.
And as we were sitting there on the edge of the beds, drinking and eating and watching TV, this guy came in and pulled down his pants and insisted on showing us.
Yeah, and he was the radio salesman,
of course,
who was trying hard
to you know, catch up to the people that were on the air. And it was you, me, and Frank
and
Gary.
And the thing is, he was so friggin' white. That's why it was amazing. We're at this party or whatever.
It was disturbing.
And he gets surrounded by a group of black chicks, and they leave. And he screamed your love. Hey, Donna Mike, look, I'm with all these black women. Is this great?
And we all went down there on this party strip that they had, and then he ended up venturing out from the hotel.
Oh, down on Rush Street. That's where we went. Down to Rush Street.
But we came back, and I think he stayed.
That's where he ended up at Navy Pier.
That's what happened.
Mm-hmm. And that's what he wanted to show us what was going on.
And then we took another, you know, a lot of room service that weekend. We took a room service breakfast and decorated the toilet with it. And like 4-year-olds with our teeth showing, said, look at this, you know.
I'm not proud of that.
And then step out and say to the maid, that was a long time
feeling real
ago.
That was like rock star stuff. Yeah. You know, but even Frank did that.
Yeah, but that was, you know, it was in the toilet. Nothing got hurt.
Even Frank did that.
Yeah,
remember?
Frank did that, right.
That's like when
Frank bought his shirt. At Marshall Fields. That's the story.
Tommy, and that's an original. That's one of the first times Tommy Hilfiger shirts were even out there. Mm-hmm.
It was $50, and he was pissed that you made him buy it.
I made him. I forced him to. I abused him all weekend. I used to abuse Frank when we'd travel.
Yeah, you did.
Big time.
You did.
Yeah, it was fun.
Physically
was fun.
And verbally, but mainly physically.
Right.
Emotionally.
Yeah,
absolutely.
The scars remain.
But it was, you know, I guess we're not doing a good job of describing. We had 2 days where we did nothing but either eat, drink, or be passed out, or go to a baseball game.
Right.
And it was at the end of these 2 days, and we were leaving this hotel that the radio station was putting us up at.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't have to pay for it.
It was
a very fancy hotel. And we just started throwing stuff in the toilet. And Frank stood there.
And like eggs and
sausages.
And ketchup. And
sausages and ketchup were part of it. Because
sure.
And I remember Frank,
our producer.
I'm with you.
Frank, our producer, who we had on the air recently. Very straight-laced.
Yes,
he was like,
is.
Guys, don't do this.
Yeah.
But even Frank.
He got involved in that. That's when we had the most fun, when Frank started doing it. And then when Frank did it, it was like this release, and he started doing it more. Then he started throwing things into the toilet.
Look at this.
Overcompensating.
Then he started doing that creepy Riddler laugh.
Yes. I mean, and he's just gone out of his mind. And then we all flew back to Washington.
Because for Frank, you know, opening up one of those little hotel-size things of Heinz ketchup and putting it into the toilet. To Frank, that was like going downtown in front of Marshall Fields with a baseball bat and cracking open the front window.
Yeah,
I mean,
he
was like...
And probably at that stage, he was the cheapest man in town, too. And Frank probably thought that the little packets of ketchup he'd be charged for. It's insane.
Hello, Don and Mike's show. Hello.
Yeah, Don?
Christ, we got a break. Yes, sir.
No, I heard you talking about John Landecker earlier. And I wondered if you remember the nickname he went by when he was on the air late in the 70s there.
Again, that would be you got me. I don't know.
Late in the 70s, what was it, sir?
He was called John Records Landecker.
Well, we said that at the beginning.
Did you? And
yes.
That thing
we did. Yes, and Records, incidentally, really is his middle name. It's on his driver's license, but we covered all that.
We talked about that. Where were you?
Where's your mom? Where's your mom live?
No, really, where were you?
Where's your mom live?
I was lost.
Where does your mom live? Where does your mom live?
Remind me.
Horville.
In Orville.
There we go. Who's your mom having sex with right now?
Cause that's
Satan. That's Satan.
That's
very
good.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Goodbye.
There you go. Listen to learn, learn to listen, whatever the hell it is.
Hello, Don and Mike show. It's nice to be important,
but it's more important to be nice. Hey, Mike Messina.
Hello. Don and Mike.
Yes, Don.
Yes.
I understand you're looking for a Nubian queen.
Ooh, I think it's Buzz that's looking for the Nubian queen.
I think this is a guy.
Is he looking for a pitching or a catching?
Oh, that's
not
disturbing. No.
Not that
kind of queen. But thanks for asking.
Got a break.
Maybe Ainsley Harriet.
You never forget that man.
Now you are really kitchen sinking. I mean, at least some people might have some knowledge of who some of these radio people are, but really nobody knows who... Ainsley Harriott is.
Mike does.
Yeah, but I think Rob Don's right. I think more people know Gary Rosnick than Ainsley Harriott.
It's a tie.
I truly do. Gary Rosnick and that fabulous cooking show, yeah. Cooking with your eye.
Ainsley Harriott was what a guy, a brother from England,
a right. British cooking show host,
right.
Discovered by Merv Griffin,
a Nubian prince,
a slightly effeminate cooking host,
or queen.
Squishy, and he was delightful to watch. I loved his show.
You're right, Rob. Nubian queen.
Right, exactly.
Like I used to talk about it.
It's marvelous. We're going to make caramel. Delightful. My guest today is Gary Rosnick. He's going to drop his pants and show us how pink his bottom is.
We'll be right back.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show. Christmas is the time to say I love you.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, The Best of Don and Mike.
Thanks, Sonny! Welcome back to The Best of Don and Mike. That song, that Christmas song, goes out to Robbie Spiewak. Hey, Rob! It's Christmas in July. Yes, they are clearing out the carts here in the studio, so Rob wanted to hear that one more time because most of the carts are going directly into the garbage. So, there's a little Christmas in July for you from your friends here at WJFK. Anyway, I'm your host, Legendary Joe Arndt, with you on this episode of The Best of Don and Mike, and let's get right back into it. Bruce Campbell, who's he? He's in studio on this installment of The Best of Don and Mike.
Yes. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
It's time now for an in-studio guest.
Oh, boy.
Shares the same birthday as you.
Huh?
Is it Carson Daly? Is it Chloe from 24? Is it Kurt Warner, Amy Brenneman, Dan Brown, Tracy Poland, Bruce Campbell, Cindy Lauper, Lindsay Wagner, Meryl Streep, Todd Rundgren, David Lander, Ed Bradley, Chris Christopherson, Ralph Waite, or did we dig up Freddie Prinze?
All right, I have no idea. I'm not even going to guess. Do you want me to guess?
Yes.
Well, she's almost ready to leave. I guessed that it would be Squiggy.
You guessed Squiggy from?
Laverne and Shirley.
Laverne and Shirley.
David Lander.
Mike O'Mara. Mike O'Mara.
The death clock says he still has a few good years left.
Thank you.
Let's welcome in Bruce Campbell.
Bruce Campbell. We go back with this guy on his show. Hi, Bruce. How are you?
Ain't Bruce the best? Hey, Bruce.
I happen to be in the neighborhood.
How are you?
How the frig are you?
Have a seat. Relax. It's
great to see you again.
Have a piece of birthday cake. It's your birthday, too.
It is indeed.
We are big, big Bruce Campbell fans since he did at his Cowboy show.
The show that we had extra roles on way, way back when.
Briscoe Jr.
The show that Briscoe County Jr.
Briscoe County Jr.
Yeah, we made it a whole season.
But Thanks
for the help.
We were really helpful with that show, weren't we?
A lot of you guys probably know Bruce best from Evil Dead.
Yeah.
He's a bad guy in Spider-Man, mm-hmm. Spider-Man 2, and Bubba Hotep, which is really a movie that my son turned me on to, which is fantastic.
He's a fine young man.
As a matter of fact, if you will indulge me for a second.
Okay.
Is he that into the movie? You're going to get him on the line?
No, he's calling already because he knew that you were going to be on. We've had, no offense, really famous people on the show. I mean, we don't get anybody on this show. We get nobody that my kid ever cares about.
Right.
I say to my kid,
Bruce Campbell's going to be on the show. He's out of his mind. He's got all of your movies. He wants to read your book. He thinks you are God. He's 20 years old. Hey, Bart?
Yeah, Dad.
Okay, here you go. I told you he'd be here.
On the campus of Clemson University.
Here you go. Bart, here is Bruce Campbell. Now, this is what I've always wanted to be able to do as a dad on the fringes of showbiz. Say to my kid, because really, you are his... Bart, tell him how crazy you are about all the junk he's in.
I try to keep up with it. I've been reading the Manuscript and Brain trade, and I'm waiting for it to come out.
It's coming. I'm touring with it this summer. How are you, young man?
I'm doing very well. How are you, sir?
Excellent. Are you in school?
Yeah, I'm down in college.
What are you doing?
Just messing around for the summer. Nothing really.
Now, Bart, when you try to... Because Bart hit me to the Bubbo movie, the Elvis movie.
Yeah.
What is it that you like best about Bruce Campbell? Because... You're famous for being, and you're great because you goof on the fact that you're like the B actor, but you goof on it, and you're also in a lot of great stuff. Bart, what is it that you find so fascinating about this guy? Really, son?
Just because, honestly, I don't want to flat. I mean, you're a B movie god. There's no other way to put it. You are a god.
Now, how do you react to that when you hear that, Bruce? How do you feel about that?
I feel that he's been raised correctly.
You're okay with B movie god, right?
Yeah,
you're okay
with that. The other day, a guy paid me a very odd backhanded compliment. He said, "You are the Gregory Peck of B movies."
That is a nice compliment.
I can live with that.
And Bart, off the top of your head, what are your favorite things that Bruce has done?
Army of Darkness is up there, and Evil Dead 2, probably.
All right. Well,
definitely up there.
Army of Darkness is the ultimate sort of dumbbell movie, so it's perfect.
I love it.
Now, what about that Bubba Hotep movie? You talk to me about this. He's Elvis, and Ozzie Davis is JFK.
Yeah.
I have the movie. I bought the movie, and I have it, and I haven't watched it yet, and I'm dying to see it. I'm going
to
watch it.
You might want to, because there's a special commentary track on there from the King from an undisclosed location.
Really?
Yeah, watching the movie in current day and not necessarily liking it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what I like. Yeah. All right, well, Barney.
Man, this is crap. I don't dig this at all.
No, it's like, I'll never say that. I'd never say that.
Oh, that's great.
All right, we're going to go. Now, this is your last chance with your hero. Anything else you want to say to him? Ask him?
No, I just want to say it's an honor, and I wanted to say happy birthday to Mike.
Thank you very much, Bart. And to Bruce. It's Bruce's birthday too.
Oh, well, happy birthday to you, too. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to just exclude you.
No, thank you very much.
Okay, let's see. Bye, bud.
All right,
bye. Bye-bye. Love you. See ya.
You know, I went back to that TV show that we had a great time doing that extra stuff on Briscoe County. Was that really only one season?
It was one season.
Really?
Yeah, but when it finally played on TNT, they never took it off the air.
It was on and on and on.
I know. A neighbor came up to me and goes, "Bruce, I'm sorry, I love your show, but I'm going to have to stop watching it." I said, "Why, Billy?" He says, "Because I've seen all 26 episodes 26 times."
Before we get into, I want to talk, the book is called "It's Make Love the Bruce Campbell Way."
Is there any other way?
How great is that? Army of Darkness. How many guys are there like my son who really on a weekend with his friends will just like watch that movie over and over?
I'll sum it up for you. I just did a book signing in Campbell, California, of all the places, which is basically San Jose.
Right.
Guy comes in and he throws an 8x10 photo down in front of me, which is a poster of Army of Darkness, but it looks really weird. I said, "Why does that look so weird?" He goes, "Because it's tattooed on my back. That's a shot of my back." So sure enough, he peels off his T-shirt. His entire back is the poster for Army of Darkness. So I paraded him up and down the crowd, and they cheered. They cheered for this guy. They thought, "What a great idea!" So the tattoo parlors were full that night.
Sure,
you know?
Man. And when you do movies like Evil Dead, Army of Darkness, you do those kind of movies, and then you go out to a book signing or you go out to meet and greet, I would imagine you do get a few people that are similar to that guy. People that are that covet that kind of entertainment are kind of...
They're beautiful people, all of them.
Of course.
There's a very high piercing count.
Yes.
There's a high tattoo factor. A
little goth action there.
There's some goth going on. A woman came up once and she said, I have some poetry you'll really like. And I went, yeah.
Here's what's great about Bruce is that, and I'm
homo.
I'm not being that way, but you're a good looking man.
Homo.
And what's great is that you're not like that tool Ted McGinley, who's also a good looking guy.
Homo.
Right. But like takes everything he's on the Kelly Ripa show.
Sure.
And he's on that doing an interview, and he's like, well, my craft is this, that we arrive...
I take it very seriously.
What I hear about... So Bruce has just got all this going, like he gets...
And I remember how gracious he was to us when we, we were doing little DJ extra things on his TV show. Sorry we couldn't help make it more than a year.
Yeah, thanks for nothing.
My kid says to me, before Spider-Man came out, and the first one, I'm all excited about it. He says, Dad, you know, I am excited. Bruce Campbell's in the movie. So we're sitting through the whole movie Spider-Man, and I'm into the movie and everything, and I remember the exact second he says, hold on, there he is. Now, I'm looking on the screen and saying, where is he? Yeah. And my kid says, he's the ring announcer. So you're the guy when Spider-Man...
When Spider-Man first wrestles, when he first goes in and gets the new uniform, right? And he's going to do his very first...
Let's clarify the purpose of that role. It wasn't just a little cameo. It's a pivotal role in that I named Spider-Man.
Right.
If my character hadn't been in that...
What's he call himself before you
name... The Human Spider.
The Human Spider.
You're so great.
See, that's the significance of the role.
But now there's a progression, though. Because in Spider-Man 2... My character, known simply as the Snooty Usher, he defeats Spider-Man.
Right.
I'm the only character in two movies. Doc Ock can't say that.
And then when we were in the... We went to see the Batman movie this weekend, and one of the ads that they ran was for this Disney film.
Oh, Sky High.
With Kurt Russell.
Yeah, yeah.
And my kid says to me again,
look!
Dad, Bruce Campbell's in this movie. Now...
You're working... You are working always, though,
in
right?
This is a movie about superheroes that have kids that go to superhero academies, and I'm thinking...
This is Sky High? That's the Disney?
I'm saying to my kid, you know, what? This is Disney. This is not... And he says, no, Bruce Campbell's in it. And then there's...
It's okay, Dad. Bruce is in it. Yeah.
Again, there's a scene where there's a kid that's got special powers, and you're up on stage screaming at him, and the car falls on him, and he can't catch the car, and you yell, you are a sidekick! Anyway, you're incredibly goddamn talented. I hate the climbing inside your prostate like this, but everything that you do is so great that you're like, if Lyle Waggoner from the Carol Burnett Show ever had a clue about what was really funny...
If Lyle Waggoner was a talented actor...
Yeah.
Now, how do you take that one?
Yeah, because you're looking down.
He gave me a look that's like, no, thanks a lot,
I didn't mean
guys.
That as a put-down.
No, it's Lyle Waggoner. It's funny you mention him. His name is everywhere because he got into providing honey wagons for film crew.
Right.
Right.
They're called Star Wagon.
And he made just a ton of money doing that,
right? Way more than in anything else he's ever done.
Right.
Okay, let's talk about your book.
Okay.
The Make Love the Bruce Campbell Way. Now, is it literally a guide to making love as you do, or is it a title that leads you somewhere?
Is it a survivor in Hollywood story? What is it? Fortunately for your listeners, there's not a single shred of love advice in the entire book.
Okay.
It's a novel.
All right.
I broke down and wrote a novel. And what it is essentially a what-if scenario. What if you took a B-movie actor named Bruce Campbell, that would be me, and put him in the big leagues? What would happen if he wound up in a Mike Nichols film opposite Richard Gere and Renee Zellweger? What would happen? The answer is it's not good.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's called perspective.
Yeah.
My God. Now, do you believe that? Do you really believe? I mean, or do you psych yourself in? I would think anybody going out to Hollywood would have the designs of being in the major feature film, to stand up there to get the Oscar, the whole nine yards.
It's been fun enough to watch from the sidelines. To watch the difficulties that the big shots have.
Right.
You know, I work with Matthew Perry on a film called Serving Sarah. Sorry, I got something in my throat. Sorry.
Fantastic film.
Yes, and I kind of watched, that was the film that he went into rehab on.
Right, right.
You know? And, you know, everyone thinks that big movie stars, you know, we all know the cliches of what we think is happening in their lives, or the money and the fame and the fortune. He was the most miserable bastard you've ever seen in your life.
All right, good.
You know, so... it's I'm okay that people aren't going through my garbage.
Okay. Yeah. All right. You know? That's one way of looking at it. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah. And you know, look, the truth of the matter is, a film like Bubba Hotep, good, bad, or indifferent, Tom Cruise is not even going to, his people won't even show that to him because they're like, Tom, we don't see your face for an hour and a half.
And the movie really, Bubba Hotep, let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah.
Because that's, it's too good. It's, you have to almost be drunk to really want, because you're Elvis and it's not a dead on Elvis. It's a good enough Elvis that you follow the guys like in an insane asylum. And Ozzie Davis is JFK.
Yeah.
And after you watch the movie for about 20 minutes, you forget that it's Ozzie Davis is JFK, and you forget that you're Elvis.
Right.
And Elvis has problems with his penis, and I can't describe all of it on
the
air.
It's a redemptive Elvis mummy picture.
What's the word?
I'm going to watch it in the car on the way home.
It's avant-garde, okay?
Yeah, it's somewhat. They can't figure out which aisle to put it in the video store.
Right.
Hey, what would you say? Is that movie a comedy? Is that a dramedy?
Is it a horror film?
Yeah, okay, yeah, correct. What is it?
Really? I call it Grumpy Old Ghostbusters. it's really two old farts who are trying to figure out what to do with their lives, and there's a mummy in it too, so it's a bit of an oddball.
It is great.
Yeah.
Now, are you a fan of horror movies? Do you dig them? I mean, did you dig them when you were a kid?
I'm okay, but they got to be good. You know, I like there's a creepy one called The Tenant by Roman Polanski because it messes with your head.
Uh-huh.
There's no special effects in the whole movie.
Psychological more than
completely,
anything else.
Yeah, and the original haunting of a cool black and white movie where you never really see the creature.
Some of the black and white movies are more terrifying than.
I think so, because there's something about the black and white that's very stark. Also,
the old Betty Davis movies used to scare the crap out of me.
Absolutely. Well, she used to scare the crap out of me. Yeah.
Whatever Happened to Baby Jane is one of my all-time favorite.
My son mentioned The Man with the Screaming Brain, which is, again, when we were discussing you this weekend, as we always do at the movies. That was, oh, Dad, Bruce Campbell's in this. What is this one
Well, I'm going to be touring with this summer. I'm in about 40 cities with the book. And it's a new movie that's going to be on the Sci-Fi Channel this fall, but I have a chance to show it in theaters. It's, it's a sordid tale of greed, betrayal, and revenge, set in Bulgaria.
Jesus, you don't take this business seriously. I can just tell. You're having a good time. What a great way to do it.
Now I figured out. You're like Lyle Waggoner with a brain. How is that?
I wish I was Lyle Waggoner
with the wagon, his
paycheck.
Right? Yeah.
Now look, here's why, guys. I have a reverse arrogance.
Okay.
Because A movies, everyone thinks that that's the good stuff, and B movies equal bad movies.
Yeah, absolutely.
First of all, the A movies are B movies now.
Yeah.
Agreed.
If you get bitten by a radioactive spider, that's a B movie.
Absolutely.
If you put on a stupid bat suit and fly around, that's a B movie. So, you know, they may make fun of B movies, but they've been ripping them off. And look how original the A. I just pulled this out of the USA Today.
Okay.
Today. All right. On the plane.
Here we go.
Here's what's coming out this summer. Herbie. Fully loaded. Fully exploited is what I call it. The first thing came out in the late 60s with Dean Jones. They made it into a TV show in the 80s. I did a freaking version of it in 1997. And now that's Lindsay Lohan. All right, so that's going to be very original.
Did you really do that in 1997?
Yeah, I did a TV movie version of it where Dean Jones hands the keys over to me. I'm the new Dean Jones.
I remember that.
Oh, hold on. I just got your IMDb.
Yeah, we got Bewitched coming out now, right? You know, that's going to be thrilling. The Longest Yard remake, The Honeymooners, The House of Wax, War of the Worlds is from 1898. It was remade in 1954.
Well, they're talking about box office overall. The box office has gone down, and we were saying the other day, because there hasn't been a really original thing come out of Hollywood in a long time.
How dare they say Batman Begins? They should put dot, dot, dot again.
Thank you.
I mean, it's really nothing to be proud of.
No.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to race out to see Dukes of Hazzard. You know, every crappy Aaron Spelling TV show from the 70s is coming back to haunt me.
Yeah. They wonder why the box office is going down.
Were you not in McHale's Navy with Tom Arnold?
You know what, though? Here's the truth of that. I watched it as a kid, and I liked it.
Right.
I didn't know the movie would suck.
Yeah. No one did.
Bruce, our phones are exploding. Would you mind taking some calls?
I dare you.
Okay. Oh, well, no, then I dare you.
Very good.
Where's the phone thing?
Okay. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Why are we remaking that movie?
Gene Wilder's not happy about that.
That looks plenty creepy, too. Hello, Mike. You're on with Bruce Campbell. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Mike. Happy birthday.
Thank you. And say hey, happy birthday to Bruce. It's Bruce's birthday, too, but he doesn't have all these sound effects here today.
Yeah, happy birthday, Bruce. Yeah,
thank you.
Hey, Bruce, you have video games going on. How many video games are you working on right now?
Well, there's a new one from THQ. It's another Evil Dead video game that won't suck like the other ones did.
All right. Oh, good.
That's coming out this fall. So there's one in the horizon. I think I might do the tutorial for the next Spider-Man game. Those are fun because I get to insult the players for like an hour.
Hold on now.
My daughter goes nuts over those Spider-Man games.
You're not on Spider-Man 2, are you?
What?
You don't do the tutorial, do you?
In the game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're kidding me.
No, I kid you not.
So, like, when I'm trying to figure out...
It's me going, stop doing that.
You are asking me.
No. No, I did both of them. And
you
like
swear to God?
Yeah, if you keep clicking on something, eventually go, step away from the window. Or
no,
whatever
I don't. Hold on.
Yeah.
You don't... I swear to Christ. I've been through that whole opening goddamn
did
sequence.
I help you?
No,
I didn't know you played. I thought it was just Madden 2005.
I ended up getting pissed off at you because
I'm not helping.
Because the little compass of the corner is showing where the bad guys are.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm swinging the other way. And then
need to shoot your web by pressing F2 or whatever.
To connect you to the building to go to the next building.
You actually say, did you even listen to the tutorial?
Are you paying attention? Yeah.
Okay, fantastic.
Cool.
So you're not... So, are you rich? May I ask that? Are you movie star rich?
Oh, not even close.
But if you do working all the time, you like the voice of the Spider-Man
stuff? Work. I make like a sort of a normal, generic living doing what I want to do. So there's really... I have no worries, but I got to keep working.
You talk about the strain that that people like a Matthew Perry, a Tom Cruise, those kind of people go through. But I would think being a working actor, if somebody said, hey, would you want to, here's, say, an independent film. Do you turn stuff like that down if they say, this is something that you haven't done before, try this? You know, I mean, you seem to have done a lot of different things in your career. Would you take a shot at doing something out of that B-movie classification?
Well, boy, there's a lot of stuff that just doesn't appeal to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't like any movie that I can see on an airplane.
Okay.
For some reason. You know, I feel like walking out.
Right.
That's not when you're on an airplane. Right?
Yeah, exactly. To me, I really just, I think I have a slightly off-kilter view of the world that I just am entertained by different stuff. If I was in a soap opera, I'd hang myself after about a year. I can't imagine doing the same thing over and over.
Watching that, I was thinking for a working actor that must be one of the toughest things to do. I mean, it must
you know
be
what?
Really
as
hell on
a,
earth.
As a director, I directed this film, Man with the Screaming Brain, and we would seek out soap opera actors because we knew they would know their lines.
Right?
they're the most trained, other than theater, of any actor.
Because it's every day in, day out.
What if somebody came to you and said, you know, you're goddamn talented. You're as talented as rubbery-faced comedian Jim Carrey. We have a script for this movie called Bruce Almighty. And it's going to co-star Morgan Freeman, and it's going to have special effects out the wazoo. Have you ever been in that situation? I mean, would you turn it down?
You know what? I tried out one time for a big Hollywood movie, which was Robert Evans' movie, The Phantom.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And fortunately, it died 100,000 deaths. I didn't get the part, so it was one of the few cases where I went, ooh, I dodged that bullet. Because what it would have been is, oh yeah, that bum gets his one shot and the movie dies.
Right.
And then I'd be sucking eggs for a few years.
So you're suspicious of that. I mean, you seem to have managed your career really well.
Well, look, I don't have to have a $50 million opening.
Right.
I need about a $50 opening.
One way to look at it.
Okay, hold on here. All these calls for you. Richard in Sacramento. Richard.
Hey, guys.
Hello, Richard.
Hi, Richard.
Bruce,
don't hide from your feelings.
It's a pleasure.
Yo, baby,
it's a pleasure to talk to you. Happy birthday.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, at the end of Bubba Hotep, it said, watch for Bubba Nosferatu.
Yes, indeed.
Has Dom started writing that yet?
Well, you know what? There is an idea. It's sort of a sequel and a prequel at the same time.
Hmm.
I'd have to kill you if I told you more. But MGM, who distributed the DVD for Bubba, actually was interested in making it, but they just got purchased by Sony. Yeah. And there's always about a year where they go, is that Sony's desk or MGM's desk?
Okay.
And so everything gets put on hold. So we kind of just have to let time work that out.
What have you had the most fun doing in your career?
That's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been on movie sets where you sit around with the other actors and you crack jokes and you go do a take. Hey, that was funny. Ha ha. And then the movie sucks.
Right.
It's not watchable. So my theory is if a movie's easy to make, it's hard to watch.
Okay.
So
if it's hard to watch, if it's hard to make,
Like, it's hard to watch Serving Sarah because it was really easy to make.
Because you're just having a blast.
So having a ball, having way too much fun.
So the movie's hard to make. It's a good movie.
Yeah, like Bubba Hotep was basically a drag. We were sweaty and pissed off. And,
gotcha.
You know, I'm putting 2.5 hours of makeup in the morning, an hour to get it off at the end of the day. So there was really no cracking jokes. There was no nothing.
How much crap does, like, reviews when you have something like Bubba Hotep, which not a lot of people know about, but anytime you go anywhere, you look anywhere online or anything,
sure.
It's like A+, 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 but that doesn't translate to your wallet. Not a penny. Do you get enough good residual feelings from doing a piece of work like that and saying, well, look, maybe, you know, Joe Blow doesn't know it, but Jesus Christ, everybody's giving it an A+.
It just validates the fact that when I read the script, I thought it was the weirdest script I'd ever read, but I felt I absolutely had to do it. And so it validates that there's a counterculture for every diehard there's a Bubba Hotep. Mm-hmm. And there should be. There should be diversity in entertainment, not this bewitched crap that's being shoved down our throat.
So, I swear to
and
God.
The other thing
sing
that,
it louder, honestly.
That I really enjoyed is watching... is going to support these revival houses, these calendar houses, these art houses, because now you have mom and pop couples who are buying these dying relics and keeping them alive, and that's the places that show flicks like Man with the Screaming Brain.
I know they do, but I do wish they would get out to the suburbs.
Bruce needs to wind it up. He has to be at the E Street Theater tonight. Oh, good luck. You're not going to make it to E Street tonight.
What time's you got to be there?
6 o'clock.
Oh, dear.
It's 10 till 5 right now.
Oh.
He'll be signing his book tonight, and he'll be showing to the Man with the Screaming Brain at 8 and 10.
And
10:30. Let's just get as many of these as we can. Oscar, you're on with Bruce. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Please don't embarrass us.
Hi, how are you?
Hello.
How's it going?
Hi, Don. Happy birthday, Mike.
Thank you. Say happy birthday to Bruce.
Hello.
Thank you.
I was just calling. I liked your work on Tachyon, The Fringe, the PC game.
Wow. You're reaching.
You've got a lot of friends out there, man.
Like even the stuff you said with the cheat codes, when you put in the cheat codes, it was really funny.
Oh, remember that? I'm trying to help you out as a player. Sure.
Hello, remember that, Bruce?
Like it was yesterday.
Don of my show, Richard. Hello, Richard.
Hey, guys. Happy birthday.
Yeah, thank you.
Bruce, just wanted to ask a quick question. I know you and Sam Raimi grew up together.
Yeah.
Director of Evil Dead and Spider-Man. And I heard that he's thinking about redoing the Evil Dead, and I wanted to see if he was going to get a piece of that.
Well, there is talk of that. There's talk of doing a remake, but it would be us overseeing it, so hopefully it won't insult the original viewers of the original Evil Dead. There's really no part for me in it, though. You know, am I going to play the old guy at the bait shop? You just be careful of that cabin now. It's haunted. Oh, shut up, old man.
Did you ever get any... I thought my kid even maybe... Did they have, like, action figures
I've got
Army of Darkness?
I have a bobblehead Ash. It's very exciting. He looks like Jethro for some reason. And there's a couple of other figures out there.
Hello, Kyle.
You're going to die, Granny.
Kyle, you're on the air. Hello. Hello, Kyle.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing great, thanks.
Happy birthday, Mike. Happy birthday, Bruce.
Thank you very much.
Bruce, you rule, man. I got to tell you.
You're beautiful.
Hey, your first book was awesome. It's so easy to read. The words are so small. I love it.
Okay. And the second one's even easier, if that makes it any better for you.
And normally I find books easier to read if the words are so big.
Hello. Don and Mike Show. You need big print, right?
Big print.
Big print, not
super
big words.
Big print.
Even small words.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yeah, good reception.
Yeah.
Yeah, James.
Yeah, just wanted to say happy birthday.
Thank you.
That's it?
Thank you, and put your head back inside the car.
Get out of here. One more. Hello, AJ.
Mr. Campbell.
Yes,
Mike,
sir.
Happy birthday, gentlemen.
Thank you.
What was your favorite project that you worked on?
I'm not done yet, but, you know, there's a couple. The Evil Dead ones were fun just because creatively Sam Raimi's kind of he's a maniac director.
Right.
So that's kind of fun. There's some obscure stuff, too, aside from the Bubba Hoteps of the world. There's a cool film called Running Time that is a real-time crime drama done in one shot, like the movie Rope.
Oh, really?
The whole movie's one shot.
One shot.
We go in and out of apartments, down streets. There's a real-time sex scene. The whole thing just plays in one shot for $110,000.
That's incredible.
Did you steal that from the Spice Girls? You know, they did. Didn't the Spice Girls have a video that
was... Oh, did they? Maybe they did that.
No cuts? I'm kidding.
We wanted to just improve on the Hitchcock thing where it was a very... His film was very sort of staid. Ours is very fluid. So weird things like that I'm kind of happy with.
You know, the one shot thing I love in movies, and I think I was watching, I don't remember which shot it was, but it was in Jaws. They had a particularly long scene. It's when they confront the Chief Brody on the ferry as they're trying to tell him not to close the beaches. And it's one shot, obviously, because they have this ferry picking him up. And I always love that. I always think that's good, but I would imagine that's got to be very challenging for an actor.
I get nervous whenever I watch a movie like Goodfellas has a very long opening sequence.
Right.
Bonfire of the Vanities has a very long one shot. I get terrified.
A lot of rehearsal necessary for that.
Horrible rehearsal if you don't hit your mark. And apparently with the Goodfellas, they would get to the very end. Henny Youngman would come out and blow his line. And this is like four or five times you're seeing
that's the scene where they come into the restaurant.
The very beginning,
right?
People are grueling in front of the camera. Yeah. Ray Liotta's saying, hey, ho, how are you?
And everybody's got a different dialogue.
And then the last guy goes, it's all about, I would never want to be that guy. You'd never be that guy.
No.
Not in Mike's show.
Hi, gentlemen.
Last call for Bruce. But Bruce, you tell me the Spice Girls were influenced by Alfred Hitchcock.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Especially Posh.
Ever see it? Never mind. It's a video where it's done with the one camera thing.
Really?
They just go through the house, and they never made an edit.
You watch that often?
Sure.
Do you have a tape that you can play for yourself with that?
Okay.
Homo.
Except they're chicks.
They are chicks.
Hello.
Hi, I just wanted to say how great Bruce's new book is, Make Love. In the first 100 pages, you get Richard Gere and Bruce Campbell in a mini fight in their apartment, and a stage fight is hysterical.
Well, so that's him putting it. That does sound like a great concept.
Good idea.
Because what happens is in the book, he's referring to a scene where, well, Richard Gere's a Buddhist. We know that. He doesn't like violence.
Pacifist.
But I go to rehearse with him, and my B movie sensibilities, I can't help it. It's like the B movie Ebola virus. I say, Richard, you know, maybe we should jazz this scene up a little bit because, you know, nothing's happening here. So we start to rehearse, and by the end of the rehearsal, we've trashed his penthouse apartment.
It was hysterical.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the phone call from his lawyer.
Outstanding. Thank you for the call, Bruce.
Thank you. Hey, Bruce, I'll see you in Baltimore in August.
Heck yeah, you will.
Take care, brother.
Thank you.
Goodbye. He's not your brother. You got to go if you're going to make that thing down.
Okay.
A pleasure to have you on.
Thank you.
Bruce.
And a very happy birthday.
I'm proud to share
a birthday with you, Bruce.
Happy birthday.
Let's get a picture with Bruce when we go to commercial.
Absolutely.
So we can put it up on our website. That's Make Love the Bruce Campbell Way, the book. And we'll have the link to everything Bruce Campbell on our website, DonnaMikeWebsite.com.
Always
and thanks for talking to my kid.
Thank you very much.
And I really didn't know that's you on the Spider-Man game. Sam, turn. Go the other way,
Donnie. I'm getting the thing out tonight, and I'm going to take a look at
the other way. Thank you, Bruce. And we'll be right back.
Number 15 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Sometimes that Sharky looks right into you. Right into your eyes. You know the thing about a Sharky? He's got lifeless eyes. Black eyes. Like a doll's eyes. When he comes at you, he doesn't seem to be living until he bites you. And those black eyes roll over white, and then, then you hear that terrible high-pitched screaming. The ocean turns red, and in spite of all the pounding and the hollering, they all come in and they rip you to pieces.
The Don and Mike Show.
Expertly aged, like a fine cheddar.
Right.
The best of Don and Mike.
And welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. Don and Mike. Oh, excuse me. A little bit of the 4th of July left over there. Don and Mike returning Tuesday, July 11th. Till then, it's you and me and lots of great best of. Let's get right back into it. It's the Man Manual on the best of Don and Mike.
Let me give you something here from Glamour Magazine. Glamour Magazine.
And since you're mentioning that, George Costanza, how far he's fallen. Have you seen the Lee Iacocca commercials?
Yes.
I mean, can he be any more pathetic now? It's ridiculous. I he's horrible. He's doing the same character now, which is this unfunny,
Lee Iacocca has a cigar indicating that he's like Steinbrenner, and
right.
He says, yada, yada, yada.
What about the deal? And George Costanza is doing, wow, man. What is that supposed to be? Is it supposed to be funny? Is it supposed to be reasonable facsimile of George Costanza? It sucks. It's terrible.
He can't have run through all of his money already.
He may have.
Yeah.
He might just want more money. It's not a question of necessarily the money as much as the career itself.
I don't see Rob.
Jason Alexander!
I want more money!
How much is too much?
But didn't he do... What was the fast food commercial he did?
KFC.
That was the same... It was the same bit, that same awkward bit that he... And it's not funny.
Now, Jerry does... Jerry Seinfeld does American Express commercial.
Yeah. Funny commercials. But,
and what's her name? Elaine, she does the hair care commercial.
And also funny commercials.
And Kramer... Never did anything. I mean, he had a show that was on for about 5 minutes that was worse than Joey.
Right.
And he's just dropped off the face of the earth.
Right. He might just be sitting there counting his money.
Peterman is doing, is it insurance?
Yeah, John O'Hurley is doing insurance, the Geico ads.
And dancing.
And Putty is now the official voice of Superman. Yeah. For the cartoons, which is a good gig.
Oh, that's a great gig. That's really. Which is a better gig, that or 7 to 11 at night on WJFK?
More turnover in the evening.
One's easier to get.
Okay, nothing. Sorry.
Mike, Glamour Magazine. Glamour Magazine.
Yeah.
This is something that we're just going to have to start today and continue and roll over tomorrow.
Very good.
Because they have something coming out called the Glamour Magazine Man Manual.
Ah, the Man Manual.
Okay, this is another one of these magazines.
You were discussing that earlier, weren't you? The Man Manual?
Yeah, I mean...
Something manual, I'm not sure what it was.
Who am I to be discussing what men want sexually? When I'm sitting in my cave last night with my pants around my ankles and, you know... Jesus Christ.
But the Man Manual is what, a guide?
Yes, it's a guide for women.
An owner's guide.
To tell women what men are up to when men want to get into women's pants.
Well, we should know better than that because we're men.
Okay.
Yeah. Men.
Here we go.
See if you're right.
This is from Glamour Magazine. So, here's body language clues.
All right.
This is just the beginning of this. This is, they've got so much crap, so much anti-man crap.
Oh, it's anti-male? All right.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
If you're with a guy and you've just met him and you're on your first date and you want to know if he's serious or he just wants to go to bed with you.
Oh, here we go.
The number one way to tell that he just wants to go to bed with you is that he runs his fingers through his hair. And here's the scientific reason.
Mm-hmm.
He's good at playing with hair. He's good at playing with women. He likes his hair. He'd like to run his fingers through your hair and then leave you the next day.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Well, that's certainly a negative attitude to go in with. I don't think, I'm trying to think back to my single times if I've ever run my fingers through my hair.
It'll look nice.
Here's another clue.
Okay.
This guy's going to come on to you. He jiggles his leg a lot.
Baby.
Oh.
He's got lots of nervous energy. And he wants you to calm him down and tame him in the bedroom.
Well, it's only relevant if he's got jiggling both his legs and they're like wrapped around yours. Like a dog.
Which reminds me, jiggling and nervous energy. Rat on crack, Tom Arnold.
Yes.
I saw him on TV. He's lost, I don't know, something like 100 pounds.
I saw an article in some magazine with Tom Arnold where he's supposed to be the new Mr. Actor. Calm down. Is he not? Is he still nervous?
Tom Arnold. Yeah, except now he's skinny.
Right,
he's,
yeah.
He's totally skinny, but he still is annoying, and he's still got that and he's got the chalk in the corners of his mouth.
Well, so nothing has really changed.
Right.
This whole article had, it was an interview with him, I forgot, GQ or something like that, and he's sitting at the table, and it's a very dignified pose with Tom Arnold, and then you read the fact that Tom Arnold has changed dramatically, but obviously that's not the case.
Now, here is a clue that a man takes you seriously.
Right.
This is how you find if he's a good man. He just doesn't want to bed you and then throw you away with the garbage.
What's the test?
Oh! If he touches his stomach. He's opening up to you.
Oh, man, I must have made that impression on an incredible amount of women.
By revealing his most vulnerable body part.
Oh, baby.
His stomach.
I really understand what you're saying, baby. Hello, baby. Talk to Buddha. Talk to Buddha. Oh, yeah, but.
Now, what about if you're over at his place? You haven't had sex yet.
Bound or unbound.
Mike, it doesn't say. But let's say...
If you're willingly over at his place.
Let's say, for the sake of argument, that maybe you're not bound. Maybe we got a dog collar on or something. Okay. But you have use of your limbs.
Okay, so you're free to move around.
You should look in his medicine cabinet.
Uh-oh. Oh, come on.
Now, here's what you should be on alert for to tell you that the guy is a scumbag or he just wants to bang you.
All right.
First, anti-anything. And now, wouldn't you say the same about a woman?
Yes.
If you went over and you opened up her medicine cabinet and she had anti-itch creams or anti-fungal fungal medicine.
Antibiotics.
Yeast away.
Antidepressants.
Yeast away. Anti-yeast. There yeast is, be gone.
There is a Vagisil commercial right now that's so funny. It's got a woman walking down the hall wearing a jogging suit. And
that's the problem.
And the
right there.
And the voiceover says something about that it's uncomfortable.
Yes.
And what about the smell?
Oh, my God.
I swear to God. And they've got, like, some bad
squiggly lines.
It's not computer animation.
But it's indicating visually that there may be a problem with odor.
Right down there.
Oh, my God. Oh, you can combine two commercials, you know, that commercial and maybe one for Crescent Rolls.
All right, now here's another thing.
And you can see it. It's bad.
If a guy is not good, he should have... hold on a second. If a guy is not good, he will have... lots of hair products.
Okay.
If he's not good, if he just wants to bang you, if he doesn't want a relationship, he will have lots of hair products.
All right, let's take just a quick mini survey right here, just conservatively. For your hair, do you count shampoo as that, or do you count like a styling gel type of thing?
I guess they're talking about all the junk that goes along with
it. How many would you have in your closet?
None.
In your medicine chest?
None.
I would have two.
Buzz?
I have,
tell the truth.
Come on, Buzz.
See, aside from shampoo and conditioner, you know, a couple of pomades and waxes and different...
Oh, he's lying! Yeah. He is lying!
Big liar.
So four jars besides the shampoo and conditioner. Yes.
And he's not... he's got 30.
Okay, so they got a lot
of... prescriptions count?
Now, how about this? When you're looking for a guy, this is according to Glamour Magazine.
Glamour Magazine.
What if the guy's got facial hair? Well, a lot of, and we all do, with the exception of Buzz.
Right.
A lot of guys. What does it say? First off, it says you can never trust a man with facial hair.
Why would that be?
Like Jack Cassidy.
What makes you think that, Batman? I don't understand.
Sean. Sean David. It's me, your dad, Jack Cassidy.
I'm Jack Cassidy. Think this facial hair would indicate distrust?
I'm bisexual. Okay, according to Glamour Magazine, any guy that's got facial hair has got issues and only wants to have sex with you and does not want anything to do with you. For instance,
okay, true.
If the guy has a large mustache,
yes,
he's desperate for attention.
Like John Bolton.
He will only... Oh, yeah. Boy, he's a sex machine.
Yes, God.
A large mustache says he's desperate for attention. He just wants you to take care of him.
Columbo, my mustache wax has been stolen.
Now, if he's got the 5 o'clock shadow, he is a lazy lover.
Yeah.
He will not attend to your needs.
I agree.
Let me see. If he has a soul patch... Now, what is a soul patch?
That's a little triangle, I guess, under the lower lip. Just, it's like a miniature goatee.
Okay, you know what that says? That says, sexually, he's out of touch, and you should run.
No!
And I believe they're talking about if he has it, just like...
Yeah, so he just has that. Have that, but I have it with the rest of the goatee.
It was the last person of note to have one. Remember when Garth Brooks reinvented himself as Chris Payne?
Oh, that's right.
He had one of those.
Craig Stadler, sexual predator.
Hold on, we're running late. We can get back to this tomorrow.
Oh, great.
Here are 8 secret signs that he is good in bed and will take care of you.
Okay, I'm going to see if I've got any signs.
So they've got all this negative crap, which we can go back to tomorrow.
Way too much negative crap, if you ask me.
But here are the 8 signs that he will be good in bed and will treat you right.
Okay.
Number 1, he owns a restaurant.
Well, of course. Thank you. Rock and roll, baby.
Nice look around cafe.
Hello, beautiful.
Number 2, he owns a motorcycle.
Yeah. Wow. Nice look around cafe.
Fantastic.
Number 3, he's a binge drinker.
Nice look around cafe.
I couldn't be more flattered.
No, here we go, really.
All right, the real ones.
Okay. First, he doesn't brag about how good he is in bed.
That's me.
Okay. Mm-hmm. He can tie a knot in under 25 seconds. Now, this seems to me...
What kind of knot?
Is it a double or triple knot? Because unless you're retarded, you should
anybody
be able to...
Anybody can tie a knot.
Well, if he does it in under 25 seconds, he's a good lover.
Hmm. Is it on a balloon?
I'm not a beautiful lady from Chicago.
Bad lover.
Yeah, okay. Now, selfish lover.
He's another sign he's good in bed, and he just doesn't want to screw you and leave you.
I'm two for two.
Yeah.
He always gives you intense eye contact.
Nope, I'm not in there. I'm not in that one.
Here's another sign. Mm-hmm. His most attractive ex-girlfriend or ex-wife still regularly calls him. Like you're going to be meeting someone new, and you go, oh, excuse me, hold on a second.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hi, it's my ex-wife. Hi, honey, how you doing? Like the girl that you're trying to bang, she's going to think that that's a turn-on?
And many times that's simply a financial reason.
Yes.
Like, where is it?
Yeah.
Here's another sign that he'll be good in bed and will not want to take advantage of you.
I only have two so far.
He cooks bad, but he cleans up neat in the kitchen.
Oh, okay. They have officially pissed me off with that. Right. That is a typical woman's magazine.
This is Rip Taylor. I will be at the Metroliner tomorrow at 11 a.m. in Washington, D.C.
Thank you, Rip.
Wouldn't it be safe to say that the vast majority of men would probably like to cook a dinner on the grill but wouldn't want to clean it up?
Let me get through this.
That'd be me.
Number six, on his bookshelf, if he's going to treat you right, mm-hmm. he only has high-quality novels and substantial nonfiction. Okay, step off, bitch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Number seven.
I'm not even counting anymore.
He talks with his hands and laughs with his whole body. And here's the one that'll just piss you off the most.
So they shouldn't know.
The eighth secret sign that your man will be good in bed and will be honest and will not be just trying to get laid.
Right.
He holds doors for you, waits for you to eat first at dinner, and understands the concept of ladies first.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Please. See ya. Please shut up.
Lets her eat her dinner first?
Shut up.
What the hell's that about?
There's more.
Let's her take the first
there's
bite.
More. There's too much more to get.
No, hers doesn't even come out of the oven before I'm done.
If there was a woman that really followed this, I would be glad to hold the door for her.
Listen, Mike, we've not even gotten into the six ways that men who are sexual predators prepare for dates.
With their beards.
Thanks, Stanley.
Five things that any man, in parentheses, even the stupidest man, can be taught about relationships.
Oh, please.
Three things that he can never be taught because he is so stupid. Five keys to winning an argument with a stupid man.
Like they need help.
Five keys to winning an argument with a smart man.
Yeah, take your top off.
What? Do I got time? Oh, yeah. God, we're so late. What men think about during sexual relations. Now, I don't know what men they're talking to. 30%. Say her pleasure, 70% say his own pleasure. Okay, that's a lie. A guy thinks about himself 100% of the time.
I think everybody in the bedroom is thinking about themselves.
Okay, 10% of men think, does my body look okay?
If I thought about that, I wouldn't be able to have sex.
47%.
My body looks okay.
I eat fried food today.
47% think about Angelina Jolie or another celebrity while they're having sex with you.
No.
4% think about TV.
TV, like what's on?
Yes.
So they're, this is great. Over there is on tonight.
And 2% of men think about the size of the room that they're in.
What? You're great, baby.
Man, it's closing in on me.
That's what I'm saying.
Help! We're not doing it in the closet again.
Now, conversely, then you have what women think about during relations.
Oh, dear.
Of course, let me see. 87% mutual pleasure.
Oh, BS.
Right? 10% my pleasure, and whatever, 4% my partner's pleasure.
Yeah, well.
17% say, does my body look okay? They said 47% of men think of celebrities.
Hmm.
Only 3% of women think about Brad Pitt or another celebrity.
Of course they do.
Let me see. 4% of men think about TV. 0% of women are thinking about television.
That's because they're selling this magazine to women.
And then you have the part about the room, and that, of course, is zero. They only the only bad thing that they do say about women, they say that 7% of women are thinking about other family obligations during sex.
During sex?
Right. That's what it says.
Where's the answer? Thinking about criticizing their man. Where's that one? That's strangely omitted.
Oh, and there's one more. 16% of women think about how to accurately describe him to the sketch artists.
There you go. He had a mustache like Craig Stadler.
That's funny. Oh,
man haters.
That's a good one. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Guys, you were just referring to somebody being able to tie a knot as an indicator of sexual prowess. Could that perhaps be a reference to tying a knot with a cherry stem in their mouth?
Is
tying a knot. I was thinking the same thing. It was like a tongue.
No, I'm positive it mentions shoes. Because it leads into, I didn't get to the part about...
You know that trick, right?
Yeah, well, and that's a girl trick. Isn't that, that's normally...
Well, you can do it, anybody can do the trick, and you know the trick is you tie the knot and then put the extra cherry stem in your mouth.
You see a girl at a bar...
I didn't know that. Actually, I've known women who could do that without doing the trick.
Well, they may do it, Buzz, but they actually may be faking
it, too. I'll watch that. Mm-hmm. Maybe I wasn't looking at their
hands. I did it one time where you take the cherry stem and I tie it in a knot, and then when somebody's not looking, I put it down between my cheek and gum, and then I take the cherry stem out.
Like Walt Harrison.
Just a pinch between my teeth and gum. And I, 90% of the time, I get caught putting the fake one in my mouth.
I've known girls who do it, and it's sort of a trick. What they do is they just start it, and they finish it as it's pulling out. They drag it against their teeth.
Okay.
Against their teeth.
I hate it when the teeth get in the way.
Me too. Mm-hmm. But it can be done.
Anyway, right. they are definitely talking about tying shoes or tying knots and rope because...
25 seconds or less?
Yeah, it's got to be about shoes because then the next one, I was skipping all over this thing, is what his shoes say. You can tell if a guy is serious or not by his shoes.
Oh, that one fascinates me. We don't have time for that one.
I'll tell you the three worst ones, and then we do have to break. Do not go to bed with a man who is wearing limited edition sneakers.
Hmm.
Shows he is self-obsessed.
Limited. What are limited edition sneakers?
This is Robert the Mailman.
Are limited edition sneakers different than regular sneakers?
Like the new Air Jordans. The new Allen Iverson, whatever the newest one is.
All right.
Okay. Cowboy boots. Cowboy boots means...
Try to contain your glee, Buzz.
Sorry. Cowboy
try
boots.
To contain your unbridled joy, puka tight shirt,
couldn't
man.
But notice them.
Cowboy boots means...
These are biker boots, too.
...is a cowboy and undateable. Do not go near him.
I wear those all the time.
And the third worst shoe offender, loafers, says a lot about the man.
That's garbage. That he's loafing or what?
I'm just reading to you from Glamour Magazine.
Oh, you know what? I shouldn't have been so curious because now I've been hurt again.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Jesus.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
The 4% for men thinking about TV, that's got to be way low.
That's
how many
low.
Guys try to finish before the Sopranos or Sunday Night Football come on Sunday?
Oh, of course. Absolutely. I mean, the whole thing is crap from a man's perspective.
But TV is not on my mind. One thing is on my mind. One thing is on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
When the actual act begins... Don't all guys think about one thing and one thing only, and that's the finish line.
Yeah.
Well, don't you agree? Afterwards, immediately television or whatever the other distraction is.
Here's the thing. I know that with Frida, the guy mentioned football.
Mm-hmm.
If it would be Sunday night or Monday night football.
You'd actually consciously, when the act was taking place, you'd be thinking...
No, I would be... We'd start, and I would think, I know I'm always fast... But where is halftime now?
Okay.
The only time that you get me when I mean, you could hit me in the head with a baseball bat.
When it's the moment of truth.
Right. Okay. Other than that, right. Sure. See, I can't help it.
I was confused. I thought when you said TV, I thought you meant transvestite. And that's what's on my mind.
We'll be right back.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show.
I want to do something meaningful with my life, Maury. I have deeper thoughts on my mind. The other day, I was thinking about volunteering to help teach underprivileged children to learn how to read. And just thinking about it was the most rewarding experience I've ever had.
Derek, I don't think you're cut out for that kind of thing.
I mean, maybe I could even have my own institute. We could call it the Derek Zoolander Center for Kids Who Can't Read. Good.
The Don and Mike Show.
Right. Welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. Don't forget, for all things Don and Mike, go to donandmikewebsite.com and you can click and pick and choose anything you want to know about the Don and Mike show and crew. Don and Mike returning Tuesday, July 11th. I'm your host, the legendary Joe Ardinger, with you. Let's get right back into it. It's time for a game. It's time for a game called Can You Get to 10 on the best of Don and Mike?
Right. It's a trip to Vegas. And it's $500, so you can have a good time gambling.
Mm-hmm.
Gambling. And the game. Can you get to 10?
Now here's your chance to win a prize from Don and Mike, from 10. Just make it through their list of lies from 1 to number 10.
You know, Independence Air has that iClub.
Mm-hmm.
I think Sammy Davis Jr. is in that.
Yep. Hi, man. It's fantastic. Peter Falk is in it also.
And so Sandy Duncan.
The iClub.
Are we out?
I think so.
The iClub.
Here we go.
Now, see, you've done it again.
No.
Oh,
no.
My stop. God.
No, Mike, I need you to concentrate here.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. Remember, don't do that too much.
I know, because... Oh.
The problem we have.
Oh, dear.
When we play Can You Get to 10, it's a very simple game. We call your mom or your dad, we tell them you're on the radio, and that you have something you want to tell them.
Right.
And it's 10 lies that go from number 1 to number 10,
right.
And it ends up with you having glorious 4, 5, 6, or 7-way sex.
You think we can call that Russian lady again?
It's celebrities.
The Russian lady in the thunderstorm.
It's lightning out.
Yeah, what Russian lady?
From Friday show. What's, oh, that's right. He wasn't here. I'm sorry. The cranial cramp.
Oh, that's, there
was,
right.
That's right. You, that was the day that you were out last
right.
week. We called a great Russian lady in the middle of a thunderstorm who was looking out.
That's another thing you didn't tell me.
Just yeah. One more thing.
Oh, man. I was trying to keep it from you.
God damn it. I forgot.
So here we go. Oh, Rob says, here's your Russian music, Mike.
Yeah, that was the lady. It's lightening out.
What we need first, really, is the Can You Get to 10 music. Not the dumb jingle that we have, but... Our official theme for Can You Get
is
to 10.
Is that new? Is that new music?
No, it's old. We've just never used it before.
I like it.
It screams, Can You Get to 10?
Fantastic.
The first thing we have to do is come up with a list of celebrities. And we'd like them to be as topical and as timely as today's headlines.
Yeah, without totally giving it away.
Like, you couldn't use Jessica Simpson.
No, too hot. Simply
that's
too hot.
That's too unbelievable.
Right.
However, I'm going to throw in my man, 50 Cent.
Okay.
Famous rapper. 50 Cent will be my first celebrity. Mike, how about you?
Don, because he fits the scenario that we're going to create, I'm going to throw in a celebrity that's been negatively impacted by recent news events, Jude Law.
Or as Rob loves calling him,
Jude Law.
No, I just favor him.
What?
I just favor a Jude Law.
Now, Buzz,
yes.
How about you?
Bobby Knight. The aforementioned Bobby Knight, I think he's perfect for the combo. Three more different individuals you couldn't get.
Now, I'm going to throw a chick in there.
Yeah.
Now, let me see. Let me give this... Oh, this is awful. Because she sent me such a sweet letter about the passing of Frida.
Yeah?
Nancy O'Dell from...
Nancy O'Dell. But that's, you know, it's perfect because she's that slightly obscure celebrity.
Right. 1, 2, 3. That's 4.
Mm-hmm. We could use 2 more.
All right.
We could use 2
all right,
more.
I've got one.
Okay.
Let's make a... We don't have an athlete yet, do we? We have Bobby Knight, but he's a coach.
Yeah,
we don't
right,
really
yeah.
have an athlete.
You want to go with Terrell Owens?
Sure.
Because he's going to hang out.
Or, well, is Rafael... See, here's the thing. If we go with either T.O. or Rafael Palmeiro, that's almost too unbelievable.
Yeah, okay. Somebody it
might,
is too.
Somebody
is.
Might say T.O.'s in training camp.
How about Lance Armstrong?
Winner.
I like it. You know, he was hot, but it was 2 weeks ago.
And then to round out the field, my God, give me a second.
They don't have a fat guy. No, we don't have a fat guy.
No, we don't have
not many fat guys that,
I know.
That are hot lately.
Most of them have passed.
What do you mean not many fat guys? Tara Reid?
Yeah.
Yuck.
She'd be believable.
Yeah, but she's not a fat guy, though.
No, Las Vegas is calling.
She's not a fat guy.
I wish I knew. He's too obscure.
No.
You ever see the weekend weatherman, the white weekend weatherman that's on one of the networks?
His name is Ira Joe, but he's, Mike, it's too obscure. Yeah.
I know, yeah. But it's Ira Joe.
But I know who I want to throw in.
All right,
the last guy, he's not fat. I just hate him. Is it Joe Reagan? The guy who's the host of Fear Factor?
Oh, Joe Rogan.
Oh, Rogan. Yes,
Joe Rogan.
That's a good one.
Joe Rogan. So.
He was on news radio as well.
Right. Let's go with those six celebrities.
You got 50 Cent, Jude Law, Bobby Knight, Nancy O'Dell, Lance Armstrong, and Joe Rogan.
So the setup goes something like this. And this is where, if you want to play along at home, you're going to have to do what we've done. Get out a piece of paper and get yourself a nice number two lead pencil.
Yeah.
Number two lead pencil. Isn't that funny? I can't get number three because I can't get any lead in my pencil.
Don't worry. It will. I was going to say something I can't say.
No.
In time, it'll
come.
Fine.
Be patient. It'll come. I know what you're saying.
That's what I was going to say.
It can't come fast enough.
So you said it.
So here's how this game works. And you can play from anywhere in America, whether you're listening to us on the radio or on the Internet. It doesn't matter. Because you're going to call your mom or dad, and the whole point is you're going to lie to them. And you're going to say whatever town it is that you're calling from. Let's use Bakersfield as an example.
Bakersfield. Fair enough.
So you start like this. Lie number one. Mom and Dad, I'm downtown today. I mean, at this point, why do we, when we do this game, why do we even bother to go through all 10?
Well, you could simplify it by simply making the person come up with 10 lies and we'd hit the dinger, but that would take the fun away from our little twists and turns.
Creating it.
Lie number one. Mom and Dad, I'm downtown today for a business lunch. You're not going to believe this. I'm coming out of the restaurant, and I walk into, and literally walk into, famous rapper 50 Cent, and I spill my mocha java, my frappuccino, I spill it on him. That'll be your start, okay? That you're leaving your luncheon today, and you accidentally spilled your drink on famous rapper 50 Cent. Are you actually typing these, Buzz?
Sure.
Thank you so much.
It makes it neater.
You know what that's like? Take a letter, boy.
Exactly.
Thank you.
I'm on it.
Buzz is taking our dictation.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Mike.
Okay, lie number two. I thought he'd be mad, but he laughed. And he said, don't worry about it. As a matter of fact, this is karma. Why don't you come to a big Hollywood party with me? Okay? I thought he'd be mad when he spilled the coffee on him. Instead, he laughed it off. He said, I think this is karma. Why don't you come to a big Hollywood party with me?
You get that over there, Miss Bobby?
I sure did.
Okay, thank you.
I'm on it.
Number three?
Mm-hmm.
Buzz, would you read back what we've got, please?
Lie number one, I was downtown. I just finished lunch coming out of the restaurant. I ran into 50 Cent and accidentally spilled my fancy coffee on him.
Okay, number two.
Number two, he said, don't worry, it's probably karma. Tell you what, come to a party with me. We're ready for number three.
All right, lie number three. So, Mom, you're not going to believe this. The car stops in front of what appears to be an after-hours club. And into the car comes famous basketball coach Bobby Knight, and along with him, Tour de France winner Lance Armstrong. They both get in the car and say, we are going to go to an even better party. All right, that's lie number three. Did we mention party previously?
Yes.
Okay, then Mike, number four.
Okay, it's Bobby Knight and Lance Armstrong.
Uh-huh.
Oh, see, I'm not even writing these down now that Buzz is over there doing that.
I do it just so I can keep track of the lies. All right, stop to after I was going to Bobby Knight and Lance Armstrong. The car drives to a private home, and we go to the door, and it's answered by Nancy O'Dell.
From Access Hollywood.
The lady that's the host of Access Hollywood.
and she's nude. Go to private home. Nancy O'Dell opens the door, greets us, and she's nude.
Number five. We're doing number five, Buzz?
That's correct.
I walk inside, Mom, and I swear this is something like out of Plato's Retreat. Because not only is Nancy O'Dell naked, but Jude Law is also nude. And, Mom, he's making out with the host of Fear Factor, Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
Was that number five, Buzz?
Yes. All right, ready for six.
Six, Mike.
Okay. At this point, we all sit down on the couch, and Bobby Knight gets sick.
You know, listen, vomit has to enter this game at some point. Vomit is the best friend of Can You Get to 10.
That's right. One of the best friends.
Well, the best friend, because vomit always leads to bathtub,
to the other
which always
friend.
Leads to... Okay, so six is... Thank you, Mike.
Right. Number seven.
Bobby Knight did six, so now we're up to number seven.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Nancy and 50 Cent say, hey, look, Coach Knight, Coach K, I'm sorry, that's what they call Mike Krzyzewski. Coach Knight has got vomit all over his red sweater.
Mm-hmm.
We immediately take him into the shower to clean him up. Number seven.
Okay.
Now we're getting down to it, Mike. Right. Number eight, please. Yeah.
Joe Rogan suggests that we all get out of our clothes since we're going to have to hose the coach down. So we all get naked.
Number nine. So there we are in this gigantic, almost like a locker room-sized sauna slash shower.
Mm-hmm.
We're naked. We're washing Bobby Knight. And all of a sudden I realize that I'm being fondled.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads us right to the enchilada number 10.
That's right. So after I realize that I know that I like it, and 50 Cent, Jude Law, Bobby Knight, Nancy O'Dell, Lance Armstrong, Joe Rogan, and I have glorious seven-way sex.
Now, as you tell the story, and Buzz, I'm so glad you're listening and typing. Thank you in advance. It's a great help. As you're telling the story to your mom or to your dad, it's okay to throw in whatever you need to make it believable for them.
Yeah, you have to weave the story. That's what we always like you to do. Those are the best liars, the ones that are able to sort of weave it together.
However, if you're able to get your gullible old mom or dad to believe this crap, by the time you get to number 10, when you say, and before I knew it, I liked it, and then we had... Then 50 Cent, Jude Law, Bobby Knight, Nancy O'Dell, Lance Armstrong, Joe Rogan, and I had glorious seven-way sex.
That's right.
That must be said verbatim.
Mm-hmm.
All right, contest players, get ready.
Yes.
Here is Buzz Burbank.
Las Vegas is calling.
Thank you, Hor. And don't forget, it's a free trip to Las Vegas from Independence Air and $500 in cash if you can get your mom and dad to go on this Can You Get to 10. Buzz, give us all 10 lies.
Can you get to all 10? Number one, I'm downtown. I'm coming out of a restaurant. I run into 50 Cent, and the rap star, and I spill my coffee on him. Lie number two, he says, don't worry about it. It's probably just karma. Tell you what, come to a party with me. I'm going to a party. You should come with me. Lie number three, his car stops in front of what looks like an after-hours club. Bobby Knight and Lance Armstrong come out of the club, get into the car, and say they have an even better party to go to. Lie number four, the car goes to a private home. And who should answer the door but Access Hollywood co-hostess Nancy O'Dell? And she's nude. Lie number five. I go inside and it's like Plato's Retreat in there. It's like an orgy. Jude Law is also there, and he's making out with that guy from Fear Factor, Joe Rogan. Lie number six, we are all sitting around on the couch, and Bobby Knight, who's apparently been drinking or something, gets sick all over himself. It's all over him. Lie number seven, Nancy and 50 Cent say that the coach's red sweater is a mess from him getting sick, so we decide the best course of action is to take him into the shower, try to clean him up. Lie number eight, Joe Rogan suggests that all of us get naked since we're all going to get wet anyway, so we can hose down the coach. Lie number nine, we're in this big sauna-type shower, very fancy, and we're all naked, of course. We're washing Bobby Knight, and I realize while we're doing this, I'm being fondled. Someone is groping me. And the final lie, lie number 10, I like it. And all of us end up having, and you have to list all of the seven people,
say
50
the name,
Cent,
Buzz.
Jude Law, Bobby Knight, Nancy O'Dell, Lance Armstrong, and Joe Rogan, all seven of glorious seven-way sex.
I love this game. That's
great.
I really do.
Thank you, Buzz. Thank you for your help.
Here's your chance to win a prize.
So there you go, kids. It's the trip. Number 10. It's the trip to Vegas.
Las Vegas is calling.
Thank you, Or. And $500 in cash. You call us now.
That's right.
We get your mom and dad's phone number. We get them on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can sell them to the point where they here's what we don't want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe this.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me. That's an instant disqualification.
Now, are you finished? That's it.
If we hear something like that, depending on the time and how we're feeling, we might give you the option to pull your ass out of the fire.
If you can, but usually you can't.
Right.
And also, you can't rush through them.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Thank you, Rob.
Right.
Very important. You can't do it like, you know, you're under a 30-second time constriction. Say, you're not going to believe what happened. I went down to I saw 57 Magic Funnel Moon. Good glory, seven-way sex, boom.
Doesn't work that
you
way.
You
have to give them time to react.
Okay, so call us now at 877-365-3636.
Oh, my God.
The game is Can You Get to 10?
Like that.
It's 50 Cent, uh-huh. Jude Law, right. Bobby Knight, Nancy O'Dell.
Mm-hmm.
I'm such a bastard because she sent me the nicest, sweetest note.
I know.
This is a tribute to my house.
She wouldn't mind.
Lance Armstrong, who just is dick to me. I don't care about him. Right. And Joe Rogan.
Mm-hmm.
Those are your celebs.
Right.
So that's who you're having sex with.
And Joe Rogan sent me a note.
Did he really?
No. Absolutely not.
Call now. Phone Jeopardy. Call now. Stay tuned.
Oh, this is fun.
We'll number back. 15 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
I think socks had something to do with that decision.
It's not funny.
I beg your pardon?
What word do you have trouble with? You understand not? That's comfortable for you?
Yeah.
And funny, you heard of that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This doesn't work. You see, I think socks had something to do with that decision. See, now I'm laughing.
Well, laugh loud so you can cover for the rest of us.
Hey, you like your job?
No.
Well, watch it. You may go.
Oh, may I? Thank you.
Come on, sir. Watch it, asshole.
The Don and Mike Show.
If you haven't heard it, it's new to you. If you have, shut up and listen anyway. The best of Don and Mike.
Yeah, shut up and listen anyway. Welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. We're in the middle of the game, Can You Get to 10? So let's rejoin Don and Mike on the best of Don and Mike.
As you get set to play Can You Get to 10?
Here's your chance to win a prize from Don and Mike's on 10.
Right.
Make it through their list of lies from 1 to number 10. Las Vegas is calling.
Thank you, Or. And the trip to Las Vegas, courtesy of Independence Air.
Sure.
You've got the 10 lies. Let's see. Anybody's going to win this thing today. Now, do you want to start with a guy or a girl?
Girl.
Girl? All right, let's start with a girl.
Here is
Pamela. Hi, Pam.
Hey.
Hi there. Thank you for listening. Robbie, will you dial up?
Yes.
Pam's mom. Her name is Adonna.
Adonna?
Donna.
Donna. Cool, so don't be hating on the Donna.
What was that now?
I said Donna's cool, so don't be hating on the Donna.
No, no. We're not hating on Donna. We are simply commenting. A good friend of our show, major effing star, Dennis Murphy.
He had a girlfriend one time that he called Donna.
Donna.
Donna. You've got all the lies down there, ma'am?
I got them. I mean, I don't have them word for word, but I know all the characters and what we're doing and what we're fondling and so on and so forth.
Okay, and you understand the most important thing.
I got it.
You've got it all down, little girl?
I got it all down.
All the names of glorious seven-way sex, like for the trip to Vegas and $500. Rob, any answer?
Notice her on her cell. Should I try the other number? Pam?
Oh, she wasn't at home or she wasn't at her cell?
Well, she's not answering her cell.
Oh, then try her home. She'll probably be, hey, I will come over there and you'll come back limping.
We're going to try the other number now. What's that, Pam?
Home phone. Try the home phone. That's what I told him.
Phone home.
But he tried to sell first.
Get it for follow tonight.
Someone sounds like they're on crack over there.
She
Normal.
Normally Rob does that, but he's busy dialing
the
phone.
Good you're doing a nice impression of Rob.
Dude, I love you guys. I've been listening to you since, like, Kiss 105, whatever Kiss. I live
in Kiss 105.
Now you've gone from the Rob to now you're back to
Rob.
You hate me that much?
No.
No, not
at
trying to fill time, money.
Just playing. We're just waiting because we're not getting through.
Are we allowed to start hating on Donna now?
Get out of here. Let's go to Jerry.
Jerry.
Jerry, hi, Jerry.
1-3-5-4
Thank you for listening, Jerry. Where are you calling from?
Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
Gettysburg.
From the Gettysburg address.
Is that near Breezewood?
Not a big.
Isn't Breezewood the town of motels?
Breezewood, you mean near Gettysburg?
Breezewood, Pennsylvania?
Breezewood's the bedroom community of Gettysburg?
I think so.
No, it'd be east of Breezewood.
Again, we're just filling time while seeing if we get your dad on the phone. Or is it, it's your dad, it's your pa.
Baba.
The mother chucker.
Mm-hmm. Chuck, Big Daddy.
Chuck is his name. All right, and Rob is getting your dad's permission.
And he's got it. Very good.
So hold on, let's go right here.
Let's hit the battlefield.
And let's say hello to Chuck. Hi, Chuck.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Don. This is my buddy Mike.
How are you, Chuck?
Good.
Chuck, we do a radio show, and your son Jerry is a big listener of the show, and we're playing a game right now where he can win a trip to Vegas and some money, but he's got to tell you something that happened to him.
Okay.
And that's all we can say right now.
That's all we can say. We're going to turn it over to him now.
Leave it to Jerry.
Hi, Dad. This is a crazy story and almost like an April Fool's joke type story. But this morning we had a business meeting downtown.
Yeah.
And I was walking downtown. I just stepped out of the pub. I got a coffee in there. Actually, it was a cappuccino. And I walk out of the pub. And there's this thing.
I don't think they may not hear us now.
Hello?
Like gold on it.
Yeah, they can't hear us now.
He said this is like an April Fool's joke story.
Is that what he said?
That's what he said.
And it just spilled a little flash.
I'm sorry. I was busy with those.
Jerry.
Forget it. Hey, sir.
Yeah.
Listen, your son is just an idiot.
He's lying, first of all.
I've hung up on him, but thank you for your time. Please enjoy a popcorn bucket filled with the Chronicles of Riddick DVD, candy, and a Blockbuster Video 30-day game pass.
He didn't play the game properly. None of what he was saying was true, but you get a prize.
No late fees, so there's no better place than Blockbuster to get your game on.
Okay, great.
Thank you. Hold on.
Thanks, sir.
See, the guy's son was such an idiot.
No, he just said to me, this is kind of like an April Fool's story.
I was trying to get the microphone into...
Pushing buttons. Then Buzz and I gave each other the look, which is like, did he just say what we thought? I was shocked because he said it.
Right, yeah.
That's no way to start.
That's the dumbest player ever.
All right, let's go to Matt.
Hello. Dr. Lecter.
Hello, Matt.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Howdy, buddy. Where are you from, Matt?
Rochester, New York.
Right on. Crapchester on WHTK.
That's right. Glad to have you back, Don.
Thank you, my friend. I'm still never coming there, but thank you anyway. And I know Mike's not going up there either.
No, but I hope we get a winner from Crapchester.
Now, let's see. Your mom's name is Yvonne?
Yvonne, yes.
As in Yvonne Craig, right? From the Munsters.
Right. Sure, Yvonne DiCarlo.
Yvonne DiCarlo from the Munsters. Yvonne Craig is Batgirl.
Ah, damn. I'm all over the place.
Why Yvonne?
Why Vaughn?
And you know how to play the game? What happened?
Computer answering.
Oh, no.
We'll
be able to talk to Yvonne the Terrible.
You're out. Here is Russ. Hey, Big Russ.
There goes Russ.
I think it was Tim Russert's dad.
Russ.
Hello, Russ.
Yes, I'm here.
Russ, where are you from?
I am from Baltimore, Maryland.
Right on Live 105 HFS.
You married to a salesperson?
What's that?
No, just go ahead. I'm sorry.
Russ, let's see. Who is it you want us to call? Your mom or your dad?
My mom.
Your mom.
Angie.
Oh, Angie, baby. You know, you could go there with Angie, Baby by Helen Reddy, or simply Angie.
G by the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, that's what she likes.
Yeah, I'm looking for Angie. This is Rob from the Don and Mike Radio Show.
Here we go.
I'm speaking to Angie.
All right, Russ, you won't make the mistakes that other people have made.
All right, now, Russ, remember, you don't tell your mom what's going on.
Right.
I mean, you just tell her you're playing a game.
This is a true story as far as you're concerned.
Okay.
And you have to construct the lies in that way to sell it.
Have you lied to your mom before, Russ?
Oh, yes, very much.
Okay.
Very much, sir.
That's what we like to hear.
Good man.
Quite often, sir. That's what we like to hear. Okay, Rob is getting the permission now.
Las Vegas is calling.
There's the whore. And here is your mom. Hello, Angie.
Hello.
Hi, Angie.
Angie, are you there?
I am.
There she is. Hi. Angie, I'm Don. This is my buddy Mike.
Hello.
Hello.
We're doing a radio show right now, and we have your son, Russ, on the telephone.
Okay.
He has a chance to win a prize, but he has to tell you something that he told us. And okay. Now we're going to turn our microphones off and leave it to Russ and his mom. Go ahead, Russ.
Hello?
Hello?
Ma.
Yes.
I got to tell you the story. You listen?
Okay.
Okay, look, I went downtown today to go get the tickets from Will Call for me and Pat to go to that show tonight.
You and want I went to get what?
Me and Pat are going to a concert tonight.
What's happening,
and I had
mom?
To pick up the tickets from Will Call this afternoon. So when I'm down there, I went into the Starbucks, and as I'm coming out, I bumped into 50 Cent, the rapper, and I spilled my coffee on him. I had like a cappuccino.
I can't hear you.
Huh?
You did what?
I spilled my coffee on 50 Cent, the rapper. I don't know why he was downtown for some reason. But anyway, I was apologizing to him. He wasn't
That's number
that.
One.
He kind of laughed. I said it was karma. So he invited me to a party. Like, and I got in his car, like, right there. And we took off and went, like, to 1722, the After Hours Club on Charles Street.
That's two lies.
Okay.
And we had to pick up, like, he said he had to pick up friends there. Well, Lance Armstrong and Bobby Knight get into the car. They say they know where a better party is.
Okay.
So I'm like, I'm game already. You know,
all right, that's work. Three.
We go to like this. We go up 83 and we go to this house in Ruxton. It's like this, you know, mansion type house.
I like the name.
Well, we all go up and knock on the door, and Nancy O'Dell from Access Hollywood answers the door, butterball naked, nothing on.
Butterball naked.
Nancy O'Dell.
Number four.
Okay.
She hosts the Hollywood Access Hollywood show. Well, she's butterball naked. And I look inside. There's Jude Law in there naked, making out with Joe Rogan from the Fear Factor show.
It's fine.
I mean, it's like straight out of a scene, like straight out of Caligula. It's orgy going on, right? So we go in and sit down. It's right about this time that Bobby Knight decides to throw up all over him. So let's take him to the bathroom, get a shower, clean him up.
That's it.
And, you know, make him presentable again, right? So while we're in the shower, Joe Rogan has this great idea that since we're all in there already, we might as well take our clothes off.
Okay.
So here we are in this huge, like, you know, spa shower where, like, you know, like 5-10-person shower or whatever. Next thing I know, I'm getting fondled. I'm enjoying it, right?
Number nine.
Okay.
So here we go. Me, 50 Cent, Nancy O'Dell, Bobby Knight, Joe Rogan, Jude Law, and Lance Armstrong at glorious seven-way sex.
And what,
it was great.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
That's it. No reaction.
I'm going to leave them hanging for a second.
Sure.
Here.
Hello?
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 Yeah, I'm here.
Well, yeah, and then so, I, you know, now I'm home. And I called the radio to tell them a crazy story. They told me to tell you about it, and I'd win a prize.
And I'm supposed to say what? Let's see, I'm trying to think. I don't know.
This is interesting.
I believe she believes
it,
though.
I think so, yeah.
I don't believe any of it.
Oh!
That's why we waited a little longer there.
Oh, God.
Good set of lines.
Sorry, Russ.
I was not supposed to say that.
Yeah, he was
not supposed to say anything. It's whether you believe the story or not.
He was trying to fool you.
Okay.
Yeah, and you didn't.
Thank you. Thank you, though.
Bye-bye.
Bye. What the hell was going on in the background?
Yes.
Let's try one more.
Yes.
One more. Here is Steve. Steve-o,
hey. Hey, guys, how you doing?
We're doing great. Steve, your mom's name is?
Karen.
Karen. Oh, I hope that lady doesn't call in and ask for her Karen song today. Good luck. You know, do your best. That guy actually did a great job.
Yeah, he did a really good job. Did. She was just not believing. Her way of not believing it was just kind of,
Okay, right,
I don't believe any of it. She seemed distracted.
And any answer, Robbie?
No.
We're calling Karen right now.
Karen? Hi, Karen. It's Rob from the Don and Mike.
Hey, look what I found.
There it is.
She's a dog, she's a queen. She can tell by the teeth. And Karen is her name.
They call her Karen.
Party,
that Karen in California is pissed now because they're not playing it for her today.
She likes it to be exclusive.
All right there, Steve. Hold on. Robbie, you got her?
Ready to go.
Here we go. Last chance. Hello, Karen.
Hello.
Karen, hello.
Hello.
I'm Don.
Hi, Karen.
This is my best buddy, Mike.
Karen, how are you?
Oh, I'm just fine. How are you?
We're doing great. Thank you for asking. We have your son, Steve, on the line with us. He has a chance to win a fabulous prize. He called us and told us a story, and we said, you've got to tell that to your mother.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's how you win your prize, if you come clean with this story.
So here's your son right now. Steve?
Hey, Mom?
Yep.
Mom, listen. Yep. You know, it's been like 5 years since I drank. I'm half lit today. Wait till you hear what I've done. All right?
That's a good start.
Hello?
Hi.
Okay, listen. Stay with me. I was downtown today. You know, I got that new sales job. I was downtown.
Stay listening.
Stay with me. Stay with me.
Okay. I was coming out of the Starbucks there, and I bumped into a rapper named 50 Cent. Have you ever heard of him?
No.
But he's this big guy, and he's a rapper, and I spilt my coffee right down the front of his outfit. And I was apologizing. I didn't really know who he was at first, but then I knew who he was, and he said, I said, I'm a big fan. He said, well, you know, this might be some kind of karma. Why don't you come with me to this party? Good. And I was like, well, I don't really drink. And he said, well, come on, let's just roll. So, you know, I'm in sales. I had all day. I just rode
to a party.
Do what?
You invited him to a party.
No, he invited me to a party.
Oh, okay.
I was working. He was out doing what rappers do.
Potential for victory.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, I get in the car with him, and we take off down the road, and we go to this club. It's like one of those after-hours clubs in downtown D.C. All right?
Yeah.
Well, in the limo, I didn't want to have a whimper anything, so I had a shot or two. So it's hitting me and everything, and we get in front of this club. How come, you know, Bobby Knight, the basketball coach?
Yeah. Well, I heard one.
Yeah, but out comes Bobby Knight and Lance Armstrong, you know, the bicycle guy.
Yeah.
So they come out to the car and they're talking to this 50 Cent guy, and they say, well, no, let's go to this other party. I know where there's a better party. So instead of going to the first place, we went over to this house that was out, you know, in Reston, and it was Nancy O'Dell, you know, from Access Hollywood.
No, I don't know her.
Oh, well, anyways,
exactly.
She's on TV every night, Access to Hollywood. She answers the door, buck naked. I about fell out. I about fell out. We're standing there, and she invites us all in. So we walk in, and inside, you know that guy Jude Law, the actor? Just got busted having sex with his nanny or something?
Oh, yeah.
Well, he's inside. He's inside on Nancy O'Dell's couch.
That's a good tip.
He's making out with this guy, Joe Rogan. You know, the guy from what's that show where the people do the dares and the challenges?
I don't know. Fear Factor?
Fear Factor.
They're in there and they're making out, and this is two guys, so now I'm really freaking out. But, you know, I had a couple of drinks, and I haven't drank in so long, I think I might be seeing stuff. Well, anyway, we all sit down, and we're sitting there partying. Bobby Knight starts dancing around, and he's throwing back liquor like you wouldn't believe.
I didn't get to meet Bobby Knight.
What?
I said I didn't get to meet Bobby Oh, go ahead.
Well, no, I did, but you didn't.
Well,
so anyways, he's throwing back drinks, and he ends up puking everywhere. All down his red sweatshirt, you know, his sweater that he always, you know, the red shirt.
Yeah.
He pukes all the way down, all over the couch and everything. So that Joe Rogan guy says, well, come on, we need to get him into the shower. So we walk into this bathroom in Nancy O'Dell's house, and it's huge. The shower looks like a sauna, like something you see in a gym.
Mm-hmm.
So they start turning on the faucets, and we're you know, scrubbing Bobby Knight down. And we're all getting wet, so Joe Rogan says, hey, let's just go ahead and all get naked. And I'm like, well, so I wasn't going to, but here's Nancy O'Dell. She's already naked. I'm like, well, you know, I'm good for this. So we're all getting naked, and we're all cleaning up Bobby Knight and everything, and next thing you know, somebody's fondling me. Well, I think it's this... Somebody fondling, you know, playing with me.
No.
Well, I think it's that Nancy O'Dell chick. Well, then I turn around and I look, and it's not. It was that guy, 50 Cent. So now... I'm starting to get a little worried, but, you know, I'm kind of enjoying it a little bit because it's a bunch of people, you know, just partying a little, and I'm half, you know, feeling good. So, anyways, we're all sitting there in the shower, and one thing leads to another, and we end up having some glorious seven-way sex. And that was with me, Bobby Knight, Jude Law, 50 Cent, Nancy O'Dell, Lance Armstrong, Joe Rogan, all of us. Just, I mean, wild sex. And now Amber's going to kill me, so what am I going to do?
What are you going to do?
What am I going to do? I might be moving in with you.
Well, there's the couch, I guess.
I called Don and Mike to tell them, and they said, well, we'll give you a prize, but you got to tell your mom and your dad. And I said, well, they don't live together.
Yeah.
But I said, yes. I'll call my mom.
Phenomenal. Good line.
But so that's what I've been doing all day. My second week at my new sales job, it was the wildest day of my whole life. And also, I'm off the wagon because I've been drinking a little. But don't tell me, buddy.
You're doing what now?
I was drinking a little.
Okay.
Okay, you know what?
Yeah,
I think
yeah,
this guy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Masterfully done.
Listen, we have.
Hello?
Right yes.
in.
Hello.
I'm just, we have... you know, I used to do crazy stuff when I was.
Okay, Steve?
Steve-o.
Yes. Steve.
Yeah.
Steve, okay.
Good job.
Well done.
You're the winner, Steve.
Well
done. Yeah.
Well done.
Mom, I made all that up.
I was about to pass out.
She believed it. That's good.
Listen,
only Steve. It could happen to only Steve.
That's right.
Only Steve. Karen,
yeah.
The good news is that your son, as far as we know, didn't have anything to drink today. And he definitely didn't have sex with 50 Cent, Jude Law, Bobby Knight, Nancy Odell, Lance Armstrong, and Joe Rogan.
Didn't happen.
But because you did not challenge him on it, your son has won a free trip to Las Vegas.
Las Vegas is calling.
And you are, and $500 in cash.
How about that?
Hey, Steve, you going to share with your mom?
Mom, I might take you. If Amber
there
Campbell
you go.
Back
there
in the house
go.
After all right. having Gloria seven ways there, hey, you might be going to Vegas with me.
All right, well played. We're out of time. Steve, thank you very much.
I love you, Mom.
Love you too, baby.
Oh, now listen.
Isn't that nice?
I'm happy. Steve.
I like that's to fall out.
That's wonderful. And ma'am, may we send you a carton of your favorite cigarettes?
I don't smoke, but I'll see that somebody gets them.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Wonderful. Would you like a carton of Virginia Slims?
Might as well.
Very
all right.
Good.
Thank you, Karen.
We'll be right back.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, look what I found. Grandpa's old radio. Oh, wouldn't it be grand to gather round and have a listen?
Well, turn something on. I'm starting to think.
The Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program. The best of Don and Mike.
Hey, Sonny, that's right. Best of Don and Mike. And we're moving right along. Moving. It's a Beth Ann segment. Remember when Beth Ann got her spider bite? Well, check it out. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Let me get your mind off that, and let me mention Beth Ann McBride.
Very good.
I mean, we'll
I haven't even said hello to her today.
We'll
I don't
from
think,
one
you know?
Sexy female to
I
another.
I really don't think I even greeted BA today.
Well,
man, it's fun to watch.
Here's the list. First, watch out. She's sick as a horse.
Oh, no.
She's got
a cold?
She got the creeping crud.
Oh, yeah.
So today when we were
out. Oh, then I don't want to come anywhere near her. Table that greeting thing. Hope she stays on the phone today.
This is, like I was telling you, I know she knows that I'm going to say this stuff on
of
the
course.
Radio. So I don't worry that I'm violating any secret with her. And we're talking before the show today, blah, blah, blah. And I say, are you sick? And she said, really, she got quite the raspy voice. And she said, yes. And I said, oh, please don't give it to the rest of us. She said, I'll try not to. I said, how'd you get sick? You know, I'm just making conversation.
Right.
She said, a bug bit me in my ass. So I stop for a moment.
Sure.
I collect myself.
Of course.
And I go, tell me more. She says, when we were on holiday about a month ago, she was in the Outer Banks. She was in a hotel,
right?
And a bug bit her in the ass.
Well, that's not why she got a cold.
No. Well, now I'm going to give you the story according to Beth Ann.
Okay.
That she told me that the ensuing wound was of such a hideous nature.
Oh dear.
That she wanted to take a picture of it and go down to the front desk of the hotel
right.
to complain about the bug bite on her ass. She was embarrassed, so she had her daughter get out the cell phone with the camera.
Of course. And took a picture of her
daughter.
Butt?
Her daughter took a picture of her ass and brought it down to the guy at the front desk. They offered her no satisfaction. She got back home. Her ass is still bothering her.
Mm.
She went to CVS.
Well, what'd she do? Get bitten by a spider or something?
Hold on. I don't know all the details. I'm just telling you what she told
me.
And then we can...
Well, now I'm fascinated. Yeah.
She tells me that she went to CVS, the drugstore, and that she actually pulled her pants down and showed the pharmacist
right.
this spot on her ass.
Yeah.
And he told her whatever kind of lotion she should use. And that first she thinks she's sick because of the bug bite.
No. Right?
Second, she would like to sue the hotel because, and I'm going to use Beth Ann's words, not mine. She said, because what has happened is, It's a beautiful, slightly fleshy, but beautiful ass that has now been ruined.
Do you think this is just a ruse to cover for enthusiastic bed play? You think she did find somebody on her vacation and just maybe bounce off the walls a couple of times?
I don't know.
Hello?
Did I tell that accurately?
Well, yeah, it was. Yeah, you really did listen.
What do you think bit you?
We Googled it. We think it's a brown recluse.
Oh my God, that can like rot your flesh off.
That's what my mother said, and quite honestly, I mean, we've compared the picture that my daughter took almost a month ago, to what it looks like now, and I feel awful and have felt awful since it happened.
Let's put that picture on the web.
Yeah.
No, we're not putting that on the web.
Is the area still, in bad shape?
Yeah, and that's what I'm most angry about.
Well, you should go to a doctor.
I'm going on Saturday, but I called the hotel on Monday or Tuesday.
What'd they say?
They just said, well, have you been to a doctor? I go, no, but I've been to a pharmacist.
Uh-huh.
And they said,
the hotel's not liable.
Well, I was in their hotel.
If a spider crawls from the beach into the hotel,
the sheets.
It looks like John Travolta's helipad. Hey, listen.
What?
Really, is it in such a revealing shot that you couldn't at least show us what you showed the CVS guy so that we can...
At that point, I just wanted relief, and I would have pulled my pants down.
But, I mean, listen.
Is it on the lower part or the upper part of your butt?
It's on the lower part of the flank.
Lower uh-huh. part of the what? Of the flank?
Right here. I mean, right where you would grab somebody's ass.
So it's right next to the crack?
Come in and show us.
I'm not showing you. Uh-uh.
Why? Will you show us the picture?
None of you are a pharmacist. What?
What about a picture?
I'm not showing you a picture. It's gross.
What if you got to really isolate? Is it gross?
How do we know that you're not blowing this totally out of proportion, that it's no more than a simple pin prick?
You can call Jennifer.
Well, Jennifer would verify.
That's what I want to do, is call your daughter and ask your daughter
about
it.
Did you wake up to it?
Well, what happened was we went out to the pool, and I wear a two-piece, and Jennifer said... What happened on your side, Mom? I go, huh? And
because
it's like, I look over, I go, I don't know what that is, Jennifer.
Baby.
Wait, when did you get bitten? Did you get bitten down by the pool?
No, it happened during the night.
Yes, it always does.
Yeah, it always does, Rob. I tell you what.
Here we go.
Run in Jennifer's number, would you please? Oh, Rob Googled brown recluse bite.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some really funky pictures.
Like I got to see this.
Oh, God.
There were two blisters. It looked like I had been burnt by something.
This picture that we're looking at.
Yeah, I mean, really, Bethann, you ought to come in here and look and see what a brown recluse bite looks like.
Come in and tell us. Okay. Come on in here. Okay. Look at what Rob just Googled. Look at this gross picture, which incidentally looks like something from one of the pornos that I would turn off.
I would say that.
looks like a young lady who's.
Oh, my God, yes.
Unless she's got what looks like a piece of veal parmesan on her flank.
Come here.
I don't think it's what that is.
You see this thing that he Googled?
But see, that's a bad one. But, I mean, it looks kind of like that. Actually.
So it's like brown and mushy? Gross. Is it crusty?
No.
I put
Neosporin on it.
Okay, now without pulling down your pants, turn around. Just show us where it is. Just on your butt. Show us where it is.
Right there.
Is it like a little hole?
Ooh.
Where is it?
Is it like Buzz? Well, it's a big hole, if you must know.
Yeah. If you got bitten by a brown recluse, you would be in dire straits. Have you seen the foot? Have you looked at the foot? Did you see the one with the...
You ever been bitten by a white recluse?
Yeah,
I was once.
Howard
Hughes bit me one time.
What?
I can tell you something.
Look at what?
Look at Buzz's picture of the foot. Is it sort of like a hole like that?
It had that in the beginning until I put the Neosporin on it.
Right, yeah. That's a brown recluse.
Who's a brown recluse now? Richard Pryor.
Yeah.
You never see him anywhere.
Haven't you noticed I haven't been myself?
That'd be more, to modernize that would be more like Chappelle. When he went over to South Africa.
Or Ricky Williams. Brown recluse.
Okay.
No, but I think a brown recluse would put you out of commission. Completely.
Also, I think it'd be a dynamite name.
I'm a trooper.
Be a dynamite name for a new car. The all-new Chrysler Brown Recluse.
The Brown Recluse.
I'd buy one.
Hold on now.
A car for one.
Bethann, we always get these calls. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, Scott here.
She got bit by a brown recluse. It heals, then it ulcers, and then it starts to spread into her blood. So she should go to the hospital and get that checked out.
Wow. So did it heal?
You think you feel good, and then it just gets you real quick.
But we have the progression of days here.
Oh, no.
You should see it.
I'm on day.
Look on day 11.
So there's day one.
Hold on. Scroll down. Come over here,
oh,
Mike.
My God.
It looks like somebody's cooking pasta. Looks like an Italian dish. I mean, the skin is peeling away, and it looks like someone is boiling ragu spaghetti sauce.
That is nasty.
Lasagna, anyone?
Shift graft 30 days later.
38 days later after a skin graft, you'll be fine.
I bet they sued.
Oh, boy. Oh, Beth Ann.
Oh, my.
Now everybody's calling about this. Hello there, Don.
Is it as big as a quarter?
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Don.
Yeah, hey.
Tell her to go to the hospital immediately.
Tell yourself. She's right here.
I hear. Okay.
Beth Ann.
I'm going to go Saturday.
Don't wait. You got staph infection is what it is.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Go tonight.
Okay,
she's
I'll go.
Working at the right staff. What does the butt look like now?
It's brown. Uh-huh. And it has discoloration. Almost looks like a really, really bad bruise.
Can we please see?
No, you're not seeing
come
it.
Come on.
No.
I showed you where I got stung
by the
wasps.
How long have you had it?
You can come to the... What?
How long have you had it?
Since...
Rob is killing
September
me.
September 14th.
With all of these pictures he's Googling. Mike, I know it's too much.
It's gross.
This is one that almost looks like rotten cheese.
No, I got to ask, Beth Ann, is
it's got some mold and some pus coming out of it.
No, it's not oozing.
No.
Can you check out that one?
It had two blisters on it, and then it popped.
Jeez.
And then I put Neosporin on it and kept cleaning it and then bandaged it.
Yeah.
Hey, we're all in here.
Okay, anyway, everybody seems to think you should go to the hospital, Beth Ann.
Okay. I was just reading about it. You can get gangrene from that.
I know. It's not good, Joe.
Wow.
Homo.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
And Joe. The Joe button's right by the homo button.
Rainy day, Joe.
Brown recluse. Hang in there until Saturday.
Gangrene.
Nasty-ass spider.
Could get gangrene.
You ought to get yourself to a hospital.
Spider-Man. Does whatever a spider can, Tracy, baby.
Be careful not to drop a case of beer on that bug bite.
He's got radioactive blood.
Listen, Dr. Octopus.
Doc Ock will take care of you.
The Green Goblin.
Yeah, much as we care about, but God, and why are there so many freaking pop-ups? Do you think you're smart? Take the scientifically proven quiz and find out. Go F yourself.
Yeah.
$170,000 mortgage for less than 560. Jesus.
What's your credit score?
Stop it.
How's your bike?
Click on the rotating George Bush.
How about an instant free analysis with all of your pertinent information given to us?
Enough. We have a portable DVD player.
Cool.
That we've been meaning to give away all week. Actually, we have a pile of them. That's all I need that breaking news sound effect.
Yeah.
We'll do this real fast. Let's do a contest. 877-365-3636.
Busted.
That's the number. And here's the game. Busted.
Yeah.
That's all we're asked to do. Now, don't bust a move, but bust something.
Something you don't like.
We just want you to break something. And I'm not going to, you know, we used to say you had to, like, break your telephone.
No.
This is just.
You got to listen to us listen to you break something. Brand make any sense.
Yeah, right.
Bust it.
One of the best ones we ever had when we did bust anything. Bust a boot was the guy with his gun.
Yeah.
Who went out the backyard and just started shooting up the place.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
So you call us at 877-365-3636. You bust something real good.
Yeah, the most creative, you know, it plays in. What you bust has a factor in this game and also how you bust it.
And you lance something open.
Oh.
Does that count?
The winner gets a portable DVD player and the Supernatural DVD, courtesy of the WB.
And a flight of antibiotics.
And you're also going to get an Independence Air vacation for two to Las Vegas.
People love to break stuff.
So call us now. Cool. The phones are open. You know the phone number. Call now because this could be Beth Ann's last show. Let's make it a special one for her.
I'm banking on a car. Somebody busted up a car.
Yeah.
Ooh, suck the poison out.
And just in case something happens to Beth Ann, Thank God I have Jimmy Alexander on speed dial. That's a joke for three people. Hi, Harvey. How are you?
Hey, Jimmy Alexander.
Thank you for the cigars again.
That was great.
We'll be right back.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show.
Did you really mean what you said up there?
Uh-huh. I just want you to be happy, Mary.
But I'd be happiest with you.
What about Brett Favre?
What did I tell you the first time we met? I'm a Niners fan.
The Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, the best of Don and Mike.
That's right, Sonny. Thank you. Well, I play Sonny because in this segment of the Best of Don and Mike, they talk about Sonny Jurgensen's birthday. It's the Best of Don and Mike.
Ooh, hold on a second.
Hello, Don.
Oh, hey, Sonny.
How are you?
You know, I...
It's my birthday.
Are you pissed because we made you wait?
Well, I don't like to wait. I was outside. I asked your producer for my favorite food.
What's that?
Hot dog. I don't like you.
I like you, son.
I don't like anybody here. Don't you understand? I'm HOF.
All
Why am I sitting out there in the lobby?
Because we had to talk to Robert's dentist.
I know, Don. Why didn't you mention my teeth? Look at these. These are fantastic. And they're tasty. Where's my Segway scooter? I don't know.
You know, it's not often, I want to say this, it's not often that you see a pair of wooden teeth.
You may be late. I was waiting out in your lobby. Now I'm going to be late for my dinner date at my favorite restaurant.
What's that?
I was going down to, Morton's to have a piece of beef. Yeah. Looking forward to it, Don. Here's an SJ9.
Okay, so, Sonny Jurgensen is
Hello, Don.
A Hall of Fame.
How are you?
Football player. He's an announcer for the Redskins here. We've known him. We've had him on the show.
Steak. Well done. Extra sauce. Thank you. I'm very bored. Do you have any toys I can play with, like a Segway scooter?
What do you
that
think?
I could ride up and down your hallways?
What do you think about the good old Washington Redskins this year?
I don't like them.
Why?
No, I think the Redskins are trying. I think these are tough times. They're having a very difficult time, you know, with their ownership situation. And I think as long as the owner stays in place...
What's it like kissing his ass all the time?
Oh, I don't kiss his ass, Don.
Come on, yes you do, Sonny.
He asked me for counsel. Just the other day, he was sitting on my lap, and I was telling him, I said, Dan, excuse me, Mr. Snyder, he corrected me.
Yes.
I said, you really got to back off. Try to relax a little bit. Come down to my Chateau Relaxo. Enjoy yourself. Oh, I tell you.
How about Larry?
Larry? I don't like him.
Well, now we've established you don't like anybody,
like
Sonny.
Frank. I don't like Larry.
Well, you don't like Larry? Why? See, Frank's the guy that had the job.
Frank would always be able to be a good communicator between me and Sam.
See, yeah, Frank was the
But now, unfortunately, I've got Larry. And Larry just thinks about Larry.
See, Frank used to be the play-by-play guy. He was replaced by a guy named Larry.
I don't care for him.
And you don't like Larry?
He's a climber.
What do you mean he's a climber?
He's a climber. He wants to climb up the ladder. He doesn't want to take the time to really pay attention to what he's doing.
What
he's
about
too busy doing politicking. And I don't like the politicking.
What about
makes me want to eat pizza.
What about that ladder that you've been climbing, or shouldn't say climbing, I should say that, like that motorized thing that they put on stairs. The thing that you've been climbing up to Dan Snyder's bung.
I'm not doing that, Don.
His bung.
He respects
yellow.
Me, Don. That's what he does. He respects me. Sonny. He respects me and he asks for my counsel. That's what Sonny does. I walk around the park and I've got my cigars, and little Danny will come up to me and say, Sonny, what do you think of this rookie? And I'll say, hold on a second. Then I'll hop on my Segway scooter and I'll ride out to the rookie and I'll check him out. And then I'll go back to Danny and I'll tell him what I think. That's all it is, Don. Larry pokes fun at Sam, too, which I'm not fond of.
Mm. Oh, does he bring up the whole mental thing?
Sam is a good man. I've worked with Sam a long time, and they broke up the family. And I wish they hadn't broken up the family.
When they get rid of Frank.
Next thing you know, they'll put somebody in between me and George.
Did you hear that movie that they made about your guy? It's a movie called I Am Sam.
I Am Sam.
You ever see that?
Is that about Sam Huff?
Yes. This is Sam Huff.
You know, Don, he was the greatest linebacker in the history of the NFL.
I'm well aware of that. I'm also aware of
the time. Is it time for me to go?
Almost. I'm also aware of the time that you accidentally took his meds.
I would certainly think that when a man from the Hall of Fame comes on your radio show, you would provide him with some food. What? And there's not a spread in here.
What do you want, a hot dog?
A bagel would suffice, some cream cheese.
Hot dog, how about
celery sticks?
How about some of the brownies that are sent in by the loyal Redskins listeners?
I don't want sweets, Don. I want chili con queso. Is that a way you could get me some of that cheese whiz dip with the little pieces of chili in it? I'll tell you, Sam was here, he'd be protesting as much as I am. Why don't you provide food? I want a hot dog.
Hot dog.
Hot dog now.
Hot dog.
Oh, I miss you, Sam. I wish Sam did the interview with me. He can deal with you guys. I don't like you.
I know.
You always create him trouble.
That's been established.
I'm 71 now. I speak my mind.
Okay, then let's
talk. How about some toys to play with? Do you have a PlayStation for me? Something I could occupy my time with. I'm very bored with this interview. Then you asked me about Sam. Great linebacker, lousy pharmacist.
What about that time you took his meds?
I passed out, Don.
Wow.
Sam had powerful drugs. And I thought because I was feeling poorly and I had flu-like symptoms that I would take Sam's medication.
Hmm.
And unfortunately, Don, when I took Sam's medication, I collapsed.
That's a true story.
I collapsed, I tell you. How about just an Etch-A-Sketch? Something to occupy my time. I get bored easily.
I know you don't want to talk about Dan Snyder. You don't want to talk about Dan Snyder. You don't want to talk about how the Redskins are really doing this year.
I know him.
You know what we could talk about?
He does the announcements of the game.
That's right. Have you heard the story about Randy Moss?
Saying
that he smokes weed?
I don't approve.
I know, but back in the day.
I tell you, back in the day, well, there was a time.
Did you ever?
With Randy?
No, back in the day.
I remember there were a couple of occasions when I think perhaps I had a marijuana cigarette with Otto Graham. A long, long time ago, I believe we were doing that. And there was that time that I got involved in some sort of hallucinogens with Homer Jones. That was a long time ago, though, Don. A very, very long time ago.
That's right.
I remember Chris Hamburger spiked my iced tea one time. He said it was heroin. Those were the good old days. There's nothing like smoking a fatty with Norm Van Brocklin. Those were the fine days. I was number 9. Yeah. Yes, sirree. We had good times. Sunnier days, Don.
Good times.
Great times. I tell you, I did do a bit of weed with certain players if they'd provide it. I remember Norm Sneed provided me with a particularly long cigarette filled with Mary Jane.
Sneed.
Same time, Roman Gabriel and I dropped acid at the Fillmore East. Big fun.
You ever do uppers with Lombardi?
Oh, amphetamines?
Yeah.
Vince had them in his desk. He had a candy jar filled with them. And he said, now apply yourself to the task at hand, but before you do this, take a handful of these. And I floated out onto that field. I could throw 45 yards,
wow,
a strike, right in the breadbasket of whatever receiver. Mm-hmm. Those were wonderful sunnier days. I would ride around, and now I'm confessing that all I do is ride around in my Segway scooter, or I ride around Redskins Park in an open car. It's big fun. I spent 2 weeks making love to Greg Slick, stoned out of my gourd. I tell you, right now, it was fun. Those were great days. Why did you have to bring up all these memories? It doesn't make me look good around the Washington public. I'm revered as an elder statesman football player and a quality broadcaster. Now George is going to ask me all about my drug use.
Let's talk about George.
George.
Let's talk about George.
Now, there's somebody who can smoke a fatty.
Now, what's up with his hair?
It's orange one day, brown the next, and then just a trace of gray. But he's not got lots of it. You want to talk about a comb over? He combs them all over. I said, people know you're going bald, George. Just let it fall out. Don't glue it to your head and try to pretend you've got hair. But he's older than I am.
George Michael's
yes, and I'm 71.
Okay.
I recall a three-way with Marianne Faithfull and Donovan.
Wow.
Those were sunnier days. Those were the days. Man, we had so much fun.
You mean Donovan, the guy who sang Mellow Yellow?
Yeah. Oh, Mellow Yellow. Great artist. A fine human being.
Sunshine Superman.
Oh, we had so many good times. And, of course, my drug use tailed off as I got older and I got into broadcasting. The last time would have been I did a few Black Beauties with Ron Johnson.
What was it like at Woodstock?
Ah, Woodstock was great. And people knew me from my playing days.
Of course.
They'd say, Sonny, you're not on the football field right now. I said, hush up right now and let me listen to these wonderful artists. I'm listening to Dylan's second set. Big, big times. I'd say I'd sign an autograph and then take my clothes off and wallow in the mud as I was listening to Sly and the Family Stone.
Yeah.
So you're 71.
71, yes. Feeling old, Don. Joints are creaking.
Yeah.
Not like the old days when I'd take Baez from you know where. The bad spot. That's what I did, Don.
Yes.
I tell you, I thought she was a peach, though. And I'm not talking figuratively. I'm talking literally. That's what the acid did. Uh-huh. Made me think she was a real peach.
I thought she was a peach.
Just because her back was a little fuzzy. She was a groovy lay. Man, those were great. Such a history that people don't know. Maybe I'll write a book about it that won't be filled with all that football jargon. Hey, can I tell you, staff down here at the radio station?
Yeah, well,
I'm tired. I'm tired of doing the commercials, Don.
Oh, no,
don't like reading the.
That's apparent in your read, Sonny, in the commercials.
Oh,
you
how
sound
many times
bored.
Do you read a copy that says, to be successful, you have to be part of a winning team? Damn it. When I'm quarterbacking the offense, it's just like quarterbacking the car dealership. Shut up.
That's
and
right.
Don't give me this old copy. And I'm tired of smelling Steve Johnson's boozy, stale breath each and every day. Sonny, come on this call. Sonny, come on that call with Steve Johnson, who smells like a distillery.
He's the gentleman who works here who we have targeted as a high-functioning...
You know, Don...
alcoholic.
In the off-season of 1970...
Yeah, really.
High-functioning?
That's the alcoholic part.
Oh.
It was just a joke, Steve.
Right.
Speaking of jokes, in the off-season...
Steve's not the guy who's deadly with the cloves of garlic.
No.
In the off-season of 1970, I drove Sean Na Na's tour bus. That was great. Oh, my goodness, could Bowser get the ladies. We had such a great time. You know what gave him the big voice?
What?
His big... Bits and pieces.
Oh. Hey, listen,
huge,
speaking of that.
Don,
huh.
Huge.
How many times have you ever seen Jim Morrison pull his pants down on stage?
Nothing would ever compare to Dyron Talbert, though. My God. We called him the Anaconda.
Wow.
Spectacular. What about, you know who I wanted to ask you about?
Sure, go ahead, Don.
Who's that guy? The guy.
No
was...
food has come for Sonny.
The coach of...
Mr. Jurgensen requires caloric sustenance.
The coach of the Cowboys, Tom Landry.
Tom Landry was a maniac.
What I don't,
he didn't do the druggies, no, but I'll tell you what he did do.
Right,
he liked to play. He liked to play. That whole demeanor with him and the tweed hat and his perfectly manicured look, yeah, he was really into the ladies.
Oh, he was?
Yes, yes.
Good for him.
Women of color.
Really?
That's what he preferred.
Good for him.
He truly did. I remember when Mick Jagger came out with that song, Brown Sugar, he, Tom Landry, liked to fall out. It was fantastic. I once experimented, once again, George Siegel's on your show again today. We went to the grotto at the Playboy Mansion.
Uh-huh.
Yes, sir. Hep's not my cup of tea.
You know,
he was George Siegel's, though. Oh, I tell you. Just don't bring me Italian food.
Well, listen, happy birthday, Sonny Jurgensen.
Is there any cheese is farting.
Is there anything else you'd like to get off your chest? Because you
I would like your listening audience
very
right
upfront
now,
and
if they could please erase all memories of what I said about this silly drug use. It was a bad time. A bad time in my life. And I didn't like it, Don. And it didn't do me any good. It diminished my skills as a quarterback.
Huh.
But it made me a better broadcaster. It truly did. I want a birthday cake full of Havarti cheese.
Happy birthday, Sonny Jurgensen,
yeah.
Hall of Fame.
Thank you, Don. Hot dog.
Hot dog.
I gotta leave now. Made me late for my restaurant.
Number 15 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Yeah! The Don and Mike Show.
Let's do it.
Like corn. enjoy it a second time.
Second time.
The best of Don and Mike.
That's right. Enjoy your 4th of July corn a second time. Best of Don and Mike, brought to you by myself, Legendary Joe Arndinger, with you. And we got one more segment for you for today. It's a little something called Isn't That Something, featuring a swimming dog. Isn't That Something on the Best of Don and Mike.
We can do a little Isn't That Something, How About That.
Right. Isn't That Something, Wow.
You don't say, whatever this thing is.
That's
that we
incredible.
Do.
Unbelievable.
Buzz.
Good heavens.
Buzz, you ready to keep score?
I am.
Here's our setup. Going to be calling a guy in the Bay Area. You know they have the swim, the Alcatraz swim every year.
Right. Oh, that's right.
People swim from the prison to the shoreline.
Shark infested waters.
There's a guy who swam with his dog, and the guy's name is Jeff. The dog's name is Jake. Mm-hmm. And
I'm already loaded with questions.
He was the only dog among more than 500 swimmers who leapt into the water on Saturday, and he came in 72nd out of over 500.
He made it.
Yeah. 41 minutes and 45 seconds.
That's incredible. I would have thought he'd be great white food.
Call him up, Robbie.
That's incredible. Isn't that something?
Oh, okay. There you go. All right. So,
hi, Rob.
How are you?
How are you anyway?
So, it will be either Isn't That Something, or How About That, uh-huh. or You Don't Say, or...
That's incredible.
Unbelievable.
Any exclamations like that?
Should we
narrow it down to just one?
God, I never know which direction to go with this. It could be...
Well, what happens is normally you will make the rule and then immediately violate your own rule.
So let's go with no rules.
No rules.
No rules.
No rules, just right.
Now, just like at your favorite restaurant.
Now, how do you want me to score that? Just a stroke for each of you guys each time you use one of those, or do you want me to categorize them?
A stroke.
How you make a little mark.
Hey,
you.
Homo.
Damn.
Stroke. I'm not that hard up.
All right.
Pardon the pun.
I'm glad I had those light potato chips today, right before we're doing this bit.
Me too.
Yeah. Buzz,
all right, yes, just
score it any way you like.
All right.
And, we've got the music, and I think we need you to lead us in. Of course, it's the Don and Mike Show, so Buzz.
Live from the Westwood One Radio Network, Don and Mike present Isn't That Something, How About That? Now, here are your hosts, Don and Mike.
Thank you so much, Buzz. Hi, everybody. I'm Don.
And I'm Mike, and the show's really going to be going to the dogs today.
Bow Wow on the line with us right now is a guy from San Francisco, the Rice-A-Roni San Francisco treat. It's Jeff. Jeff.
Hi, you guys. Hey, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike. Thank you for joining us. You have a swimming dog.
We have a swimming dog.
Isn't that something?
He's a golden retriever, about 4 years old.
Unbelievable.
How about that?
And we just swam in the 10th annual South End Rowing Club's Invitational Alcatraz Swim.
Really?
You don't say.
And it was really a lot of fun. We had about 507 athletes that competed in the race. And it was from Alcatraz Island to the shore, and
that's more than a baker's dozen.
I'll tell you something. I heard a rumor that my dear uncle Scooter spent some time on the rock. Has your dog always been a great swimmer?
He's not really. I got him. He really didn't swim that well when I first got him.
Unbelievable.
We've been working swimming together for about a year and a half.
So do you swim with the dog in a pool?
No, we swim in the ocean in San Diego.
Isn't that something?
Does the doggy like salt water?
I believe, it's good for his coat, and he likes to swim in it, I know that.
What about the fact that in these waters they're supposed to be shark infested?
The great white killer.
The idea with that is you don't have to swim faster than the shark. You just have to swim faster than your buddy. So we...
Ain't that the truth?
Was there a danger of sharks, though? I know sharks are very... I know that's why Uncle Scooter didn't get off the rock. And he got 10 years for larceny.
Well, I don't know that there's really that many sharks in that area of the water.
Oh, good.
Sharks up there.
Unbelievable.
What kind of dog is it again, Jeff? What kind of dog is Jake?
He's a golden retriever. He was actually swimming to raise money for the guide dogs for the blind. So
Uncle Scooter.
About that?
That is unbelievable. Uncle Scooter worked in the Alcatraz Library. 10 years. Never got raped.
How about that?
Isn't that something?
Probably a good place for him to be.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose that's why. He's a man of books.
Can you tell Jake, your golden retriever?
He is.
As God speaking now, I got a question. Is he really made of gold?
I'm sorry, I missed that.
Your dog, your golden retriever, is he really made of gold?
You know, like a false idol.
I think today he is right now. He's earning a lot of scratch for us. So,
Don't say.
Isn't that something? The dog sound must be very, very intelligent, I would imagine.
Oh, he's a smart dog. You guys, seriously, when we got in the water, we actually got about a 2-minute head start on all the racers. And when the lead racer...
Isn't that something?
Amazing.
When they caught up to us, he ended up accelerating his speed just because he was trying to stay with the pack.
Inspirational.
That is phenomenal. That he actually sped up with the swimmer.
Spectacular.
Wonderful dog. Good canine.
Good dog.
These are too funny.
Good doggy.
That's wonderful. I bet he enjoys retrieving.
Well, you know,
Uncle Scooter could have used him to retrieve overdue books. From the Alcatraz Library, don't you know?
Now, when you went swimming all the way from the prison where Scooter was to the San Francisco shoreline, how long did it take you to make the swim?
Good question. Unbelievable.
41 minutes and 45 seconds.
Wow.
Isn't that something? How about that? Were you tired?
He was a little tired.
How about you?
Say.
Didn't you swim with him?
I do. We swim side by side, right?
That's wonderful.
Side by side. Dog is man's best friend.
Wow, what a dog he is. You must have been very proud of Jake, the dog.
Thank you. A lot of people were, actually. A lot of cheers on the beach.
Did you name him after Body by Jake?
Jake Steinfeld, the legendary fitness guru.
Hello?
I adopted him, and he came with the name Jake when I got him, so I didn't have that privilege.
Have you ever seen the show
something?
Jake and the Fat Man?
With
William Conrad?
Are you a fan of the Arizona Cardinals like I am and Jake the Snake, who got traded to the Denver Broncos? Does your dog like football? Has your dog seen that insensitive training film of the 49ers, man?
Oh, that's just the most disgusting piece of propaganda I've ever seen in my life. Have you seen
that? That's something. That's disgusting. I'll tell you that right now.
You know, for 10 years, my Uncle Scooter's cellmate was a kingpin in the Korean Mafia.
What did you feed the dog before you went swimming?
Unbelievable good question.
You don't say.
Well, he actually was staying in the Hyatt in San Francisco, and he ordered 4 eggs from room service.
Ain't that incredible?
Applause for that.
Do you condone neutering?
Sorry?
Do you think that all pets should be spayed and neutered like bad bank here?
I think if you're going to breed appropriately, I think it's, you don't need to, but...
You're a darn tootin' thing, Newton.
Did you not feed your dog 30 minutes before you put him in the water?
He sat for an hour before he went in.
What is his regular food? Are you waiting for one of those tasty endorsement deals?
Actually, they have been calling to talk to Jake about endorsements.
Isn't that something? Here's a question for you. Kibbles or bits?
Bits.
I bet those bits were cold after that swim.
You don't say.
Isn't that something? Unbelievable. Wow.
Does your dog like peanut butter?
Yes.
Simple question. Yes. So do I. How about that?
Which would the dog prefer, peanut butter or cheese? Because dogs love cheese, too.
Ain't that the truth, brother?
Unbelievable.
You're preaching to the choir now.
That's for sure. Wow.
Isn't this something? What kind of peanut butter does your dog, Jake, the swimming dog, like?
Chunky.
Chunky,
that's good. Do you think he prefers cheese or peanut butter? I know that Uncle Scooter swore by Ken L. Ration for his six Pomeranians. Which do you think Jake likes? It's a simple question, Jeff. Peanut butter or cheese?
I'm taking it seriously. I'm really trying to think this through because I want to give you guys the right information.
Good. Please do.
Yeah, no. You know, what he really likes is peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Attaboy. That's great, Jake. And you're not going to endorse a dog food here on the Don and Mike show?
Well, you know, he likes bits.
He likes, but so do our listeners. I hope they enjoy this one. Isn't that something? How about that?
Unbelievable.
You don't say, I can't believe I ate the whole thing.
I'm out.
And we're out of time.
I've lost.
Until next time, don't forget that our time together is always very special. The current time is 46 past the hour. You got to be somewhere at the top of the hour. You got 14 minutes to get there.
And everybody should be happy to know that right now Uncle Scooter is a reformed man and working as a toll taker.
And
an old one.
Please hang up and try again.
Hello?
Hang up.
Hello,
right
Jeff?
Your operator.
Isn't that something?
Well, unbelievably, he hung up.
Please hang up and try again.
Wow.
He hung up?
Should I call him?
Call him back and see what the deal was. Buzz, I know we were all over the place.
I know you lapped me at the end there. You certainly did.
Were you able to keep score?
I was, and I wish everybody could have followed along as I was keeping score, because Mike held the lead for quite a long time in the beginning, and then it was neck and neck the rest of the way. The final score, Don had 27 such declarations, Mike had 24.
Damn it all! Damn it all!
Missed it by that much.
He's not answering.
Oh, what a shame.
He went right to voice.
I think we scared him away.
Yeah, Mike.
Yeah, but he wouldn't endorse a dog food.
He really didn't handle the pressure very well.
Didn't seem to like it. No, he didn't.
Cheese or peanut butter.
They're the dogs.
Isn't that something?
Unbelievable.
Okay, so it's 27 to 24.
That's the score.
That's really
good. Yeah. I'm still competing. Foolish me. And the gun's gone off already.
That's right.
Game's over, Mike.
That's for sure. Uh-huh. Time to go to the locker room, catch a shower.
Blind man of the bleachers.
There you go.
No. I hate
here on the scooter. 96 next Monday.
The whole time he was saying that, I was like, get a scooter from Mobile.
Scooter! Knows all the stats. God love him.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That's something.
That is really something.
I don't know if that's good or bad, but I'll tell you, that's something.
Hey, it's no Elvis to Elvis.
Okay.
All right, so everybody just calm down.
Amen to that.
Yeah, that's for sure.
That's a classic.
We meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.